Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joining you live from the InfoWars studio this Thursday afternoon. Joining me in studio is Andrew Wilson. You can follow him on X at PaleoChristCon. TheCrucible.video is the website. Andrew Wilson, a dedicated Christian debater and paleoconservative voice known for his sharp, high-takes, blood sports-style discussions on faith, culture, and politics. As host of The Crucible, he engages opponents across the ideological spectrum while championing traditional Christian values. And, of course, you were just on Joe Rogan. Welcome to the show, sir.
I appreciate you having me. How's life been?
It's been great. It's been great. Yours has been great. I don't even have to ask you. You're going on Joe Rogan and making a big splash. How was that?
It was great. I was, I'm going to save the full story for when I get back and I can finally do a live, because we've been, you know, going on, while I was here in Austin, I was like, man, there's a bunch of people I got to talk to. Got to talk to Harrison, right? Got to talk to Brian Callum, a bunch of people who were local. So I was able to meet up with all of them and it was great. But I was pleasantly surprised. Joe's pretty based.
Yeah. Do you think he's more, maybe we shouldn't add. Maybe we'll keep it all on the down low. Cause I do wonder sometimes, I'm like, is he playing a part here? Does he really think this? Is he saying what he believes? I suspect that he's more based than he lets on, I guess is what I'm saying.
I suspect that as well.
Okay. But we'll leave it at that. But you know, even reading your bio, you have like a very unique position in the media landscape right now. Like, you are a debater, basically. Like, what you're known for is arguing. Like, how did that become a profession in these days? Professional arguer, professional debater.
I'm a political commentator, a political satirist, and then I engage in debates of all kinds.
Yeah.
With people all over the world on various ideologies. That all occurred because the lunatic leftists locked us all up during COVID-19. And when they did that, I started engaging in limited Facebook online debates, and then that just kind of spread out.
Really? It was, yeah. Okay. I feel like you've been doing this forever, but,
it seems like it, huh?
I guess it's been 7 years. I still think of COVID as like last year.
For me, it's been about five.
Yeah.
It's only been about 5 years.
Wow.
The thing is, we've always been in the trenches. It's always been brutal. The Crucible crew has always kind of done what we can to hold the line. Like, that's our job. We know that we're not going to affect large political change. We know that that's not really our goal, that there's other people who are going to affect large political change. Our job is to be the rock in the shoe, a thorn in the side, a pain in the ass. And that's what we're good at doing. So we're in the trenches is exactly where we're going to stay forever.
So what do you mean by that? Being the rock in the shoe, like just pushing things that much farther.
Just making the opposition as uncomfortable as possible, assisting with argument structure for people who are in the sphere, who have larger audiences, people who can push the political envelope. We're a support network for that. We're there to assist with that. We get in those small crevices where all the TikTok lunatics are, all the people who are pushing the message on the left. We do that for the right.
Well, that's definitely what we need. I guess we need to talk a lot about what the right needs, and we're going to get into all the news of the day. I'm going to get your view on the new videos from Andrew or whatever his name, Pretty. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, Pretty? Actually. Is it Pretty or Pretty? Do you even know?
It's Pretty.
Is it Pretty? I keep saying Pretty. It just feels weird to say Pretty. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into what's going on in Minneapolis and the rumbles of war with Iran and all that sort of stuff. But just overall, do you enjoy debating people that – is like steel sharpening steel, or do you prefer when you're sort of what's the wrestler term, a joker, somebody who's set up there just to be knocked down? Do you prefer where you just get to go in and pummel a stupid opponent, or actually contend with an intelligent opponent?
Always to contend with the intelligent opponent.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, is that a lot of the people who are out there who you think are smart are actually morons, and so would you like a list?
Yes, I would.
I have a comprehensive one. And the more academic they get, the dumber they become. So the thing I don't always know who it is I'm even going to be debating, depending on the show. Sometimes I walk in completely blind. That's mainly our job. And I take debates from almost everybody across all walks of life. And we do everything we can possibly do to sabotage the TikTok lunatics, and we do a great job.
I love it. I mean, it's like it's the modern, you know, Roman Forum. That's why I think it's so interesting that that's like what you do, is you're out there arguing for traditional Western civilization. It's amazing stuff. More on the other side. Stay with us.
Energy shots have been all the rage for decades because they really work. But most of them are full of dyes and toxic stimulants and have huge crashes. We set out to develop a product at thealexshowstore.com that has all the very best adaptogens, nootropics to biohack your body and not just help your brain, but every cell in your entire body. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind Fuel is next level with no letdown, no crash. It is very strong. So I take half a shot in the morning, half in the afternoon, and it's just amazing. And again, the effects go on for days and days and days because these are super nutrients that are in Mind Fuel. For the time I have here, I can't tell you all the incredible ingredients. So go to thealexshowstore.com and look at what is in it, and of course, proprietary herbal ingredients as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and secure your Mind Fuel and be the reason we'll always be on the air. Thank you so much for your support. If you love our other products, you're going to love Mind Fuel.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It is Thursday, the 29th of January, 2026. I'm in studio with Andrew Wilson at Paleo Christ Con on X, thecrucible.video. He is, of course, known for his debates and wrecking opponents across the board about any and all topics. You at least know the topics that you're going to debate before you go into a debate, right? You might not know the opponent. You don't even know the topics?
Sometimes I don't.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How's that come about? How's that work? They just say, do you want to debate?
Well, actually, it's actually worked out poorly sometimes for the host, because I'll come on and I'll be like, yeah, I don't disagree with this guy, though. So.
Oh, well, that doesn't work.
They're just like, well, we assumed it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get for assuming.
No, I'm seeing a fatal flaw.
That's a big issue. Most of the time, yes. Yeah, so we pre-agree on what the debate topic's going to be, what we're going to be discussing, that type of thing, but not always. And of course, if you're on TikTok, you're debating with tons of different TikTok lunatics. And we always go in there good faith. You know what I mean? We always have rules. We never report. We never do anything like this. We're trying to actually engage with them. Mm. Right? That's the whole point. So. And we don't always know how that's going to go. They may have topics posted. That doesn't mean that they're actually going to let you get into them, right?
Right.
So, we kind of go into their home stomping ground and just mangle them. And, it's a sheer joy for me.
Yeah.
And the Crucible audience. So here's what happened with the Crucible. So it'd be Friday night and I'll be like, all right, guys, I'm going to do an invasion tonight and we'll sit down. I just know that just, thousands upon thousands of people all across this great nation who are making themselves a nice cocktail and they're kicking back and they're ready, man. It's Friday. It's time to go. We got to mangle the libs. We got to wreck the progressive scumbags, right?
Yeah.
So, that's what we do.
Well, that's great. And, when you go into a debate, are you trying to convince the audience? Are you trying, like, what do you have a strategy? How do you approach a debate? Just
both, but primarily the audience first. So audience first, a lot of people listen to debates who are on the fence about various issues. That's why they're listening.
Mm.
Right. And so my point first and foremost is to try to convince them, not even that I'm right, but that he's not.
Right. And you don't have to agree with me.
You don't have to
point out how wrong.
Yeah. You don't even have to agree with my worldview. He's messed up, right?
Yeah.
His whatever he believes is trash. It's garbage. At least get them away from that, because then if I can't convince them of my worldview, at least somebody close to mine may be able to.
Yeah, maybe listening in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. How do you think we solve things? I'm just trying
to solve things.
You know, solve America, Andrew, go right now. No, but you know, you look at what one of the clips that came out of your Joe Rogan interview was you talking to Joe about whether or not the Antifa type people genuinely believe whether they're fighting, that they're fighting fascism or whether it's all play acting and they know they're full of crap, but are doing it anyway. And I guess that's what I'm asking. Like, can we even convince these people? Is it even, I hate to say it, like, is it worth it to try to talk to them and convince them or like,
yes.
You think so?
Yes. So I recently did a debate with some, you know, TikTok or I don't know, Jubilee Dweeb on whether or not, Trump is a fascist. And what happens is they take a sequence of words with loose definitions to the words and then combine them so that they can be applied ad hoc, right, to the person. That's what they do. Once we started diving into what historical fascism is, we started diving into what that actually meant, why these qualifiers were there, this type of thing, he was completely lost. I asked him basic questions like, do you understand how this works? Do you understand what these countries were like? Do you understand that? Knew none of it.
Yeah.
And so the thing is like, there's no reason for me to assume his audience does either.
Right.
And there's none. There's no reason for me to assume that. I assume they don't. And so all I need is what? A 0.5% to just go and look.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Okay. Andrew's right about this. He doesn't fit the qualifiers of this. Why are we calling this guy a fascist and a Nazi? Well, we're trying to use loaded language in order to put all of the atrocities of these groups at the feet of Trump. You're like them. Then I can demonize you properly for the sins that they committed. And if guys like Charlie Kirk need to get shot to stop the Nazis, then they got to get shot to stop the Nazis, right?
Because what they're doing is stopping Nazis. So, I mean, what wouldn't you do to stop the Nazis?
What wouldn't you do to stop Hitler?
Right.
You're going to stop Hitler. You're
shooting these guys, one thing, but you wouldn't, like, I don't know, vote twice.
And the guy I was debating with agreed with me.
Right.
That using that sort of loaded language specifically to kind of put the sins at the feet of these people, in this case Trump, right, who's barely a nationalist, let alone an ultra-nationalist, you're going to try to put the sins of the fascist in Italy and in Germany at his feet. Like, that's insanity. And all I need is for people to recognize, just a small amount to recognize that, and that begins to move them away. I remember I called into a guy's show. He's a famous Coomer gremlin. And what happened with him, I asked him about this very concept. I'm like, what you mean by fascism is not fascism at all. And he basically conceded that's true.
Right.
I'm utilizing morally loaded language to demonize my opposition. That's it.
Which is so stupid. Like, it's stupid from their point of view, too, because, A, if you actually care about fascism, then you wouldn't just start applying it to all this other stuff because that, you know, waters down the actual meaning. And if that's what you're actually opposed to, you wouldn't want to do that. But then also to these people, they're putting this label on it. They really are depending on people being stupid. If people aren't stupid, their arguments don't work, and it will just set everything back. So it's like not even beneficial for them to use these.
Well, they're not.
Language.
They're not stupid. We gotta make sure we delineate a couple things. Leftists are not stupid. They're not. In fact, they often have higher IQs than right wingers do. That has no bearing on anything, though. You can be an educated idiot,
right?
And you can have a high IQ and still be a moron. What makes these people dangerous is not so much that they're stupid, it's that they understand, because they're intelligent, how to use ideological capture using morally loaded language.
Right.
So the thing is they're trying to pander to a group where they use this kind of fluffy academic speak, and it masks a lot of the historicity of the thing that they're talking about.
Right.
And oftentimes just unveiling that portion. No. You're really smart? Okay, go back and look at the historicity, the source material. Get back with me. They come back and go, okay, wait a second. I got to back off here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean is, like, they don't seem to even understand, like, what the First Amendment is or what any of the amendments are. And because I was talking about this yesterday and going back to civics and going,
emotionally pleasing to me at the time.
Sorry. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, how could you possibly – and I was saying it's like, you know, saying – I'm being arrested for free speech just because you use words to demand the bank teller give you money, you know? And it's like, All right, you don't understand. Attacking a cop is nowhere, like, there's no overlap in the Venn diagram between free speech and attacking a cop. What are we doing here? So that, it's like, is that not stupidity? To me, that's, I guess it could just be.
Well, like back on the First Amendment argument when they say, you can't yell fire in a crowded room. It's like, yeah, you can.
Right.
Especially if there's a fire, you kind of need to.
Well, right.
But even if you yell fire in a crowded room and there's not, you're not being arrested for free speech. You're being arrested for another crime that has nothing to do with your speech. Nobody's saying you can't even say the words then.
Exactly.
Only that there could be external crimes which you're charged with that have nothing to do with it. And this where the left it's always an ambiguity. The main thing is, if you make a leftist be really clear about what they're saying, what they're saying is almost always retarded.
Yeah, or like vicious and evil.
Yeah, right? Or a combination.
It's viciously
retarded and evil.
Retardedly vicious and viciously retarded. Yeah, sure. That's about it. I don't know, have you seen this video? This video went viral. I don't think we can play it because we haven't censored it yet. Guys, if we can censor that, we can play it, but they're cursing like crazy people. But yeah, they're just yelling at this girl, and they're basically like, oh, you're pretty, maybe you deserve to be raped. And like, then you'll feel how it is. And it's just this seething, vicious hatred. and retardation all combined, and yet yeah. it spreads.
Well, from debating with feminists, I know exactly what this is like from a firsthand experience, so especially debating prominent feminists. So what'll happen is you have to remember that the way that rape and essay is categorized in the United States, oftentimes we'll use language like must be penetrated, which means that women can actually essay men and nothing happens to them.
Right.
Under, at least not under, under that. Right?
Yeah. That makes
so
sense.
Categories, when you're doing stats, they make a big difference. And so I'll point right. this out and say, you know, these rape stats are actually, they're ridiculous and designed to demonize men. They're actually ridiculous and designed to demonize men. Yeah, it's like insane how many men they claim rape women, which is just not true.
Right.
You say that, what did my DMs look like? I hope your daughters get raped. I hope your wife gets raped. That's what they look like from leftists. And so this, watching a video like that, I saw it earlier, right? Doesn't surprise me a bit. I'm going to wish upon you this horror that we consider the worst thing ever, right? Because that'll teach you.
Yeah. And they have nothing to base on, because I'm thinking of when they did the same thing with Charlie Kirk, where it's like, they think that he said something about, well, it's worth it. People dying from guns are worth it because we love guns. And it's like the actual clip was him being like, you have to make, you know, this is a balance we do with everything. Cars kill a bunch of people. We think it's worth it to have cars. But they take that. Obviously, they have no idea what they're talking about, but it's enough for them to basically go, he deserves it. He should be killed because he at some point apparently suggested that we make a decision all the time on, you know, value versus consequence. And yet they think they're the good guys. This is.
Well, and how does anybody believe them? So like, look, you saw how many people were celebrating Kirk's death.
Yeah.
On the left. It was an insane amount. We went on TikTok and we were debating with them for two solid weeks. We called it the Kirk series.
Right.
Just drawing out of them how gleeful they were that this poor guy was horrifically murdered.
Right.
In front of everybody, the whole world. You couldn't, even if you never wanted to see it, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. And why are we to expect that the leadership who comes out and says, oh, I disavow, but everybody who follows you doesn't. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Tell us some more bullshit. Tell us some
Seriously.
More. Yeah. Total nonsense.
And to me, the kind of like terrifying thing is there were people that I know in my life, very nice people, moms, you know, that are just like, well, you know, maybe shouldn't have been out there doing that. And it's like, do you not realize that you are?
He was making people upsetty spaghetti.
Yeah. And it's like,
he had to go.
You're justifying the murder of a guy. And they're going, well, you know, you should have heard what he said about black people. And so you don't even know what he said. What are you talking about? But the glibness, the just sort of casualness that they're, yeah, well, he died. It's like, okay, you understand you're literally talking about me. I'm way more extreme than Charlie Kirk. And if you're saying that about him, you're saying that about me, but they don't get it. They don't care. What is that? I mean, why do they not understand?
Well, I was debating with a woman, interestingly enough, about a week before, Kirk went. She's a comedian, right? And she got demolished in the debate, and she knew it. But one of the points of contention was, I said, we're in an ideological war. And she was saying, you're a grifter trying to stoke people and get them, you know, super upset. This is not like a shooting war. And I said, yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah.
Week later. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the thing is like, and these are the small things, right? We're not in a civil war, and we're probably pretty far from one, in my humble opinion. But we're in an ideological war, and it's going to be elongated over the next 20, 30 years, and then it may turn into something worse than that. Or even sooner, right? I don't know. I'm not a soothsayer. But we are in an ideological war. The country is now divided, probably more than it was in the Civil War.
Yeah.
It is so polarized and divided along these political ideological lines, and you don't see it until you really start to draw out what a person thinks.
Yeah.
You know, just a step at a time. And a lot of times they mask their seething hatred and vitriol for the right with rosy language, right? And they want to pretend they're distancing themselves from these monstrous actions. But let's be real. Most of them weren't just celebrating because Kirk was dead. They were celebrating because TPUSA, which had these large tendrils for outreach and were going into where they had their strongholds, which is the universities, were making great inroads, had success, and they knew that without Kirk, falls apart.
Yep.
That was what they were celebrating. That was their big ideological win. That was their big victory. It didn't matter if it was Kirk or not Kirk. Anything which represented the organization that fell, that makes the organization fall apart, that's what they were going to celebrate.
Yeah, because they understand that the ideological war has political consequences. I mean, as much as it's just an ideological war, this is a life and death struggle at the end
and
of the day.
Personal consequences.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what happens when the university student can't just go and have the afternoon delight with the two guys in the dorm room and gets knocked up and can't go get her abortion? Right. Yeah. That's a big problem. You know, what if, oh my God, what would happen, Harris, if they outlawed gay marriage? What would we do? Oh my God.
What would come next?
And so the thing is, it's funny about it, right, is these are literally the hills these people are willing to not just proverbially die on, but now
literally die
on these hills of you need to be able to smite your child in the womb. We need to make sure that we have thruples who can adopt children. This is the price of my freedom, you fascist Nazis. And by the way, open borders, you fascist Nazis, or else, right?
Yeah.
You're literally Hitler. And yeah. So, yeah, if you get to that point, the ideological justifications which can be used against you, which have deep-rooted, old, philosophical, satanic underpinnings, yeah, that stuff needs to be not only challenged but demolished in the public square and in the most brutal way possible, in the crucible's humble opinion.
Right. Because there's a lot of just social cues that people go on. I mean, obviously, you know all about this, just the idea of the herd mentality, and that, you know, some people, especially women, are more likely to go along with the group, go along with the consensus rather than, you know, what they know to be true. And we go on about that forever. But is that one of the reasons that you debate the way that you do? Because that's what I see is like, I'd be embarrassed if I were on her side, right? The people watching you debating, they look at your opponent and going, ooh, they're getting humiliated. Maybe I don't want to be on that team.
The ultimate irony is that I do not treat women any differently in a debate than a man.
Well, right. That's when it really gets you in trouble.
Ultimately, that is the most amusing joke anywhere you'll find on the Crucible, is you're here because you are saying that men and women share this form of egalitarianism. We're like carbon clones of each other, right? It's just that men are a little stronger. There's no other difference. They're just a little bit stronger and have a penis. And then it's like, yeah, try to treat them the same.
And is the penis really?
And watch how quick they become privileged. It's the idea of Schrodinger's feminist.
Yeah, yeah.
You've heard Schrodinger's feminist?
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, well, that's easy, right? It's that women are either extraordinarily empowered or the biggest victims in the world, depending on which thing gives them the most advantage.
Well, it's working, isn't it? I mean, it's working out for them.
It's working
fairly
for feminists.
Well. But, you know, when you talk about like the country being divided, obviously it's always been divided to a certain degree. But like at this point, you know, Scott Adams, rest in peace, he, you know, popularized the idea of watching two movies on the same screen. But like, we're not even in the same theater anymore. I mean, we are on completely different ends of the planet when it comes to just like basic facts. You take the Preddy example, where it's like, on one hand, you got people going, this was an agitator physically intervening and interrupting and trying to stop a lawful arrest going on, and he got shot. Whereas the other side is saying, this was an innocent protester who was murdered by ICE. And it's like, you can't just say, well, these are two different views of the same thing. One of them is a lie and one of them actually happened. How do we bridge that gap? Can we bridge, like, what, how do we solve this? Cause it's only getting worse as far as I can tell.
Well, the problem is that, people aren't as stupid as, the elites would have us believe, or as progressives and their academics would have us believe. And it turns out that when you talk to the average person, you say, you know what this looks like to me? This looks like it's just a mathematical problem. What's going on is, The local mayors and local governors give the local police stand down orders. And then the federal buildings get surrounded. And then the feds have to protect their federal buildings and the personnel inside. And every engagement they have with protesters, it's just math, right? The more engagements you have, the more chance that you're going to have a negative engagement that makes one side or the other look bad. But if the protesters look bad, they can always say this. He wasn't with us.
Yeah.
We don't care. That's an individual. Doesn't reflect the group. If somebody in ICE or somebody like this does it, that reflects the whole group.
Right.
So they always have the power and advantage in this mathematical sequence. That's why this doesn't happen in red states. It's happening in blue states because the government is complicit, gives the police stand down orders in order to make sure they have mathematical certainty to create the conditions for incidences. Yeah. Every incident creates just one more incident towards there being a real and significant one like Preddy.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. If you look at Higbee, Cam Higbee, he pointed this out very well. I shouted him out on Rogan too. Whether you agree with his politics or not, I think what he's doing on the ground is very important. So the Crucible has been a big supporter of that.
Absolutely.
Especially since I stream snipe his stuff because I think his coverage is just great.
Oh my God, we wouldn't have a show without people like Cam Higbee. Of course.
Of course. So anyway, watching all of this happen, he puts out the signal chat, and I knew that those were going to come out. They always do. They did with BLM. They do with all of them, right? Whether they're using signal or some other, secure medium, somebody always infiltrates and you always see the same exact thing. That mathematical formula.
Yep.
Here's how you act. Here's what you do. Here's what you do to create incidences. Call their wives this. Call them that. Do everything you can to make sure that these people, you use insults that that men would have shot you for 200 years ago. They would have taken, they would have been, what'd you just say about my wife? Bam. And nobody would have blamed them.
Right.
They do that. And then the second there's a moderate reaction, right? Oh my God, they're out of control, these Nazis.
I mean, that's...
Oh my God, these Nazis. Well, look at what they're doing to the poor, innocent protest. Just called their wife a whore, said that their kids need to die, said doxed them, do everything that they can do. That is not how you would even combat fascism anyway.
Right.
That's not even how you would do it anyway. If they were actual fascists.
Is that not what the French Revolution,
did people walk down the streets of Germany in order to oppose the Gestapo by saying, you know, in German that their wives are whores? What do you think would have happened to you?
No, that's the ridiculous part. These people think they're in the French Revolution and they're out there with their faces yelling in the face of somebody who's a foot taller than them and 100 pounds heavier than them. It really is like it's the classic image of the chihuahua snapping at the pit bull that's on a leash.
Yeah, and half the time it's just a bunch of fat women who need a Snickers bar. What they should do is they should arm ICE and anybody who's in a federal building. Of course, have your handgun, have your launchers, have all that, but give them some Snickers bars.
Some whipped cream.
It's so, you know, it's so bad. Like there's so many 5'4" fat women who are just screeching at the top of their lungs. And I'm like, God, can you shut up? Can you, there was one, these two guys, they were going back and forth. They were having an argument on the street and it was very respectful. The one guy was like, look, I got a point of view. Other guy's like, yeah, you know, you make some good points, but can I, and I'm like, man, this is getting pretty good, you know, and the chat's kicking back and they're like, yeah, you know, now it's time to have a beer. Let's listen to a debate. This is a street debate. This is some fat urchin immediately comes over, you know, starts screaming on her, you know, her bullhorn and shit. And I'm like, but can somebody shut this chick up trying to listen to this debate?
It's a strategy, but that's the thing. I mean, they know they can't win the debates. We experience this. Of course, we don't go out nearly as much because the lawsuit and everything else. But every time you try to interview somebody, there are people whose job it is to run up and disrupt it and blow whistles or drag them away because they know they always look stupid.
Well, you've been in that, right?
Yeah, you've been
in that where they obstruct and do whatever they can to make sure.
And get in your way,
That
it is the most annoying thing of all time.
Yeah, well, it's funny. It's the same thing you'll find on TikTok debates, except they just do something else. The mute button.
Yeah, well.
It's just like, well, now you just can't speak. Muted.
See, I had to stop going to those because I was like, I'm going to blow it. I'm going to commit a felony. I'm going to commit a felony if I have to be around these people. So I stopped going to the live events. I have a bit of an anger issue, you might find. We'll be back on the other side. Quick commercial break. Paleo ChristCon on X. Andrew Wilson, thecrucible.video is where you can find the podcast. We'll be back on the other side with one more segment with Andrew. Don't go anywhere.
Send in the Snickers money.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. And the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came
in. Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at theoliveshowshore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation books. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultra Methylene Blue, TheOxygenShore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexShore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychotic. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't gonna serve dog to people. They're not gonna come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in studio with Andrew Wilson. But I want to let you know real quick, at the alexjonesstore.com, that's the alexjonesstore.com, we have a collection of folding knives available now. And I was looking at the folding knife and I was thinking we should get a version so I can show people, but we don't need to because it's literally my everyday carry. Every single day I carry an Alex Jones knife, and it's replaced the other knife I was carrying because it's better, it's sharper, it's easier to open, it feels good. I have the I thought mine was green. It was sort of grayish, but all of the knives available at thealexjonesstore.com are incredibly well built, incredibly sharp, and incredibly cool. They come with a signature of Alex Jones on the side there, and I'm telling you, I carry it every day, and it's always poking out of my pocket. Yesterday, we were on the walk with my family, and my son just kept trying to come up with excuses to get my knife. He just kept being like, I need to cut flowers for mom. I want to cut flowers to make a bouquet for mom. It's really nice.
It's a nice knife.
Want to check that out?
It is.
Oh, it's pretty nice. Of course, we have the big trench knife available as well, as always. Ooh, watch out. Right here. Absolutely beautiful. Whatever you get, it goes directly to supporting us. As you know, we continue to struggle with the attempt to murder us through Lawfare, and you help us to survive that and move on to the next bigger and better thing by going to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, comes in these beautiful gift boxes. And like I said, this is my everyday carry for the knife, this exact one. Easy to open, easy to carry, extremely sharp, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. With that, we return to our conversation. Andrew Wilson at Paleo Christ Con on X, thecrucible.video. And we're just talking about the insanity of the left. It's just the only thing that I talk about anymore because everything seems so simple. And that I think is the real struggle I have is like, do I really have to explain this? Do I really have to explain why? No, you can't just let in 20 million people in 4 years and then say we can't do anything about it. That's just not how it works.
You see why I smoke? You see? I even lit one up in here. What are you going to do about it, Harris? What are you going to do about
it? My hands are tied.
My hands are tied. That's right. I took it over. It's insane.
It's called chutzpah.
It's also the fact of the matter, them considering being a Nazi. we don't want to let people in who don't belong here. Nazi. What?
Crazy.
Yeah, well, it's not just crazy, but it's counterintuitive. It's like, of course, in a nation, the people of the nation have a right to determine who comes in and out of the nation.
See,
and by the way, it was really funny. Rogan played the clip of Obama.
Right.
Who had that position. That was Obama's position.
Yep.
Of course, we have to make sure that we have the right people coming in. You know, yeah, that was his position. And then suddenly, you're all Gestapo? That ICE facility's been there in Minnesota for how many years? Nobody cared. They didn't care under Biden. They didn't care how many people were getting processed out. They didn't care that in California, by the way, in California, Home Depot raids, come on. That's the oldest story in the book. I was watching them when I was a kid. You used to pull up to a Home Depot and go, two.
Yeah.
And two day laborers hop in the truck and you'd be like, how much? And you know, it's in, $7 an hour, whatever.
It's actually the one part of illegal immigration I'm not against.
Yeah.
It's the Home Depot.
Yeah, you'd be like, hey guys, we're going to take you over. You're going to rake some leaves. You're going to pick up some this and then we're going to drop you back off. Those were the rules, right?
And they're the best and they know exactly what they're doing.
And the thing is, it's like, it used to always be the case that these guys that ICE and places like this, they would raid those places constantly.
All the time, yeah.
That's where the old La Migra joke came from.
Yep.
Where you'd be like, hey, you want to spook these guys? Just walk by and say La Migra. I mean, when you were little kids, you did that shit for fun.
It's like that. There's an old show, and I can't believe this existed. There was a show in like 2003 called The Amazing Racist. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And he picks up like 15 day laborers and then just drives them over to the
immigration
office and they all jump out of the truck.
That may have not been the best reference for what we're talking about.
The point is that 20 years ago, this was such a common thing. Yeah. They were making spoofs of it and, you know, and that was on national TV and everybody thought it was funny back then. So again, it's just
I never heard of a school walkout.
Right.
Or illegal immigrants
for
being
anything
picked up
for
and
me.
Processed out.
Yeah.
Nothing like that ever occurred, and it wasn't supposed to occur because they were executing the laws of the nation.
It doesn't make any sense.
And it's like we've gotten to this bizarre point now where just to even execute the laws of the nation is considered Gestapo-like tactics, Nazism, this and that. And it's really funny. They have it all in reverse. They act like the people who agitate the situation are law enforcement in this scenario. And it's not. Every time I see the various situations, the agitators happen to be the people, just like in the Floyd thing.
Yep.
They always happen to be on the other side. A video was just recently released of Preddy. In that video, it shows him kicking out the back of one of these guys' vans. Well, yep. You know, law enforcement van. He's obviously an agitator. It's not going to surprise me when it comes out he's a paid agitator. Not going to surprise me when it comes out that he was much more intricately involved in these things than we once thought.
Yep. Yeah, this is the video here. It's from the BBC, and there's actually multiple angles of it. He spits there. He's cursing at him. There's the kick of the taillight. The whole thing comes out, by the way, and you can see the taillight has duct tape on it because it had been bashed out by a different protester. You know, in a previous protest, apparently, and he is being manhandled.
And by the way, can we just point out that the officers here, of course, showed extreme restraint. He had his firearm on him here as well.
Yep.
And they just let him go. And the thing is, it's funny, it's like he was the aggressor.
These people are doing everything that they can in order to elicit a response, and the response is negative. This is not like it was in days past, where you saw that there was a large amount of aggressive police who were the agitators.
Right.
That has not been the case since Black Lives Matter. The opposite has happened. These people all think they're martyrs. They're all, and I'll watch these protests live, and these guys will walk out in the street. They'll put their hands up. They'll be looking around for cameras.
Yeah.
Is there a camera on me right now? Okay, there is. And that's when they walk slowly up to the line after the cops told them to disperse, looking for that golden media opportunity where they get popped with a pepper ball or they get, you know, thrown on the ground. We get that black and white still image, and these are the Nazis, and people are sick of it.
Yeah, and it's surprising to me how effective it seems to be. And I don't know, because they do the polls, and it seems like the harder ice goes, the more people like it in poll reactions. So, you know, maybe that's
we
the
play
case.
Heavy metal music.
What?
Oh, yeah, well, I always have heavy metal music cued, so basically, when there's a pop-off and finally the police
it
go
starts
in.
Going down.
Yeah, then that's when we play the head-banging metal and we're like, yeah, get them, you know.
But there's so many people that are like, oh, I can't believe they murdered a protester. And it's like, how do you not understand? This is what they intend to do. They're doing this on purpose. I mean, it's, I'm not touching you to the point that they're trying to do a revolution.
I'm not willing to say that what happened to Preddy was justified. I'm not willing to go that step. I think that I want to see more evidence. I want to see some testimonies going. Because initially when I saw this, probably much like you and others, I thought, okay, how did we end up with this guy dead? That went to the, you know, after he's disarmed, this and that. Me and Rogan were talking about it. He thought perhaps it was the model of handgun, that there was a discharge there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the case or not. My initial reaction was this may not be justified. But who cares? If it is the case that it's not justified, these guys get prosecuted as they should in that particular case, you're not going to stop executing the laws of the nation because of a single incident. And that seems to be the motivation. They seem to be saying, because one incident happened, justified or unjustified, we now get to shut down all the laws of the nation and demand an overhaul of totality of training for all these officers before we can send one more illegal out the door. And it's like, no. No, that's unrealistic, and it's ridiculous, and it's stupid, and that's never going to happen in a million years, even if there's prosecution, which happens under this, and maybe there should be. Let's just grant it to them for the sake of argument that there should be. Doesn't change a thing. The laws of the nation in Minnesota need to be executed, and the people who are there who aren't supposed to be there need to be sent out of the nation immediately.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm maybe a little bit more on the side of ICE in this case, because again, I think the purpose of what the left is doing is to try to, you know, piss off ICE, try to aggress on us. And they, you know, immediately after Renee Good got shot and killed, the first thing the Democrats were doing was going, we have to prosecute this ICE shooter. We have to prosecute him immediately, because they know that they're trying to instill in the minds of ICE agents, don't fight back, don't do anything, because your commanders will not have your back, and they will throw you into prison.
I'm not only not disputing any of that, but I've been ranting here for the last 15 minutes about how true that is.
Yeah.
All I'm pointing out is that even if it's the case that it's not justified, it doesn't change a damn thing about whether or not we need to continue to execute the laws of the United States, and whether or not we need ICE to be getting rid of these people, and whether or not we need our Border Patrol to be stopping them at the border, regardless of what you think their level of training is.
Yeah.
And it's often stated, you go to war with the army you have, not the one you wish you had.
Yeah.
In this particular case, maybe you could say that there's certain training and things like this that you want these guys to have. But we also have to enforce our laws in the interim time.
And the other thing is that this is not what they're supposed to be doing. So they're not supposed to be trained for crowd control.
Yeah, local officers do this.
Right. Yes. They're trained to arrest the illegal aliens. They're not trained to deal with random Karens running into them, you know?
And you bring up that brings us to the crux of it all.
Yeah.
How much responsibility should these governors and mayors have? If we find out, and they should be investigated for this, find out if they gave stand down orders or specific orders to the local police department in order to not enforce the local laws. Because if they did, And then they put it in the hands of the feds. Basically, what these guys are now arguing is that the undertrained people are supposed to be the ones who are doing the enforcement right. rather than the ones who are trained for the enforcement itself.
None of it makes any, like at None every of it. Level, it's absurd. This is the craziest part. This is back in 2020. And I feel like we're going into it again. I am shocked that they've had such a big response in negative degree temperatures. That is crazy.
It hasn't been big. We've been paying very close attention. And in Minnesota, it makes a little more sense.
I guess because they're used to it, yeah.
Right? It's Minnesota. But most of these people are out-of-towners. I watched this Don Lemon yep. rolled up and ran his Starbucks across the street and began talking and interviewing the very small amount of protesters who was in front of the ICE facility. And most of them are from out of town.
Yeah.
Almost all of them, in fact. And many of them were professional agitators, which you can see going from protest to protest.
Yep, same people and over
many
and over.
Of them were academics, of course. They're always here to help. It's like, but where's all the locals? Well, there's not right. too many of them. The locals don't seem to mind too much what's going on. It always seems to be the outside agitator who minds the most.
Which is actually, I don't know if people know this, that's actually a federal crime. Like, if you cross state lines to participate in a riot, that is a federal crime. I don't know why we don't prosecute them for that, because that is another thing that's been going on since 2020. I was talking about there was a hot mic incident where one of the organizers of the riot in Chicago is going, oh yeah, they sent me here from Oregon and I've gotten in contact with your producer. He's like in contact with all the NBC producers and they're on hot mic coordinating the actions. But importantly, he was bussed in to Chicago to lead the riot or lead the protest that turned into a riot. Why would you not arrest that guy?
Well, not just arrest him. What needs to happen is not the local arrests. The local arrests are not going to affect the change.
Right.
You need to arrest the mayors. You need an internal investigation immediately that has some sort of external watchdog group who's on top of it. We need to find out if police at the local level are getting stand down orders, because they are.
But we know they are because they announced it, right?
We need it concrete. Yeah. And when we have it concrete, they need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. They need to be put in jail. That's the only thing that stops it, because what's going on is they're abandoning the federal buildings and saying, that's up to you. We're not going to enforce the local laws.
Yeah.
The feds have to. So then Trump goes, well, they're undermanned, sends in the National Guard to protect those same federal buildings. He's sending in the Gestapo.
Again, a judge says you're not allowed to. Yeah. Well, and of course, the big change now, and I think this, my supposition is that it had something to do with the signal chat, but basically they agree. They said, okay, we'll send out the local cops, and the local cops are clearing it up. Let's go to clip 37 here. We can play it as B-roll. Minnesota police, it says, are currently making mass arrests as group protesting hotel failed to disperse after being told they were on private property. So, Tom Homan goes down there. He meets with Waltz, and immediately the local police start doing their job, declaring it an unlawful assembly and arresting the people there. And no violence, no issues. ICE isn't being attacked. It's what they should have been doing the whole time. I think it was the signal chat, if not some other things, that Tom Homan walked in there with, going, look, you're either going down big time or you help us with this, which I'm not even for. I just want them to go down. Like, I feel like right now they have like criminal charges that they're teasing for Waltz and Frey, but they're not doing it. Instead, they're using it as leverage to get Waltz and Frey to do what they want. No, I want them arrested. Just arrest them. Yeah. Don't, like, Trump puts out this thing, I demand that you hand over all the illegal immigrants. Like, I don't even care about them anymore. I want this network of radical leftist Americans rounded up.
Communists
for trying to overthrow the country.
Yeah, they're actually communist, and Rogan was right. It's a color revolution, but it's 100%. An extension of an elongated color revolution. It hasn't stopped. The thing is here, You point out, as we're pointing out, kind of the major symptom, right? We got to get at the disease.
Right.
And the disease is going to be the leadership. And the leadership here, if they're giving stand down orders where these federal buildings are, I would consider that something akin to sedition. We are putting the health and welfare of my fellow countrymen at risk for no good reason. The taxpayers are paying to make sure that their streets are cleared. And
Somebody's sneaking up here.
Hey.
How you doing?
I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. Remember, Homan openly got Eric Adams to roll over to drop charges on him. So I think clearly that's the MO. I don't trust him, though. I just say burn him.
That's right. That's nice to see you as well.
No more deals.
Alex Jones, everybody.
Well, nice hat, Alex.
That is a cool hat.
Yeah.
We should start selling that hat.
We need to. I got given this hat at Christmas. I looked at it, it was like a golf hat.
Pretty cool.
Have you ever heard Crowder's impression of you?
Steven Crowder?
Steven Crowder. It's so good, dude.
Well, I had laryngitis It's finally gone. Over 90% gone. Well, it's even more raspier now. Oh, I'm not telling you.
It's so good. You got to, one day, my dream is Steven Crowder being Alex Jones in the studio with Alex Jones. I'd be like,
that's hilarious. That's very funny.
I think he's done it before a little bit.
So good.
I'm a gorilla. Murder you.
Take care, man.
So one thing I wanted to point out about the video of Alex Preti when he's kicking out the back light of the car, he should have been arrested then.
Yeah.
And if he'd been arrested then, he wouldn't have been on the street and he wouldn't have got murdered. He would have been alive today if he'd been arrested for this action here. They storm out of the car and they seem to get him under arrest. Then they just let him go again. So, you know, it's like, you can have either response. Either you have to just back off and go, hey, you know, they're not letting us do ICE, so we got to back off. Or you got to go, look, we're doing this. We're doing it no matter what. And if people start coming and interrupting us, we're going to arrest them for that. You're just not allowed to destroy a car for fun. Like, what are you talking about? So if he'd been arrested here, he would have survived. Tolerance kills, folks. Our leniency is why this man is dead, not our intolerance. So I think that's worth pointing out. All these people need to be arrested when they do stuff like that.
Well, let me ask you this. This is the war on Twitter anyway, the war on X,
right,
which will soon spill over into primetime media. Did Trump fold? Did Trump fold is the question. Got to get you on record, right? We got to hit you in the hot seat on your own show. Did he fold?
Did he fold here? I don't think he folded. No, I wouldn't call this folding. No, because ICE is still operating, right? I think folding would have been withdrawing ICE. He did not do that. He didn't go as hard as I want. I would want him to go the other way. I'd want him to say, you're right, it's too dangerous. We're doing a new thing where we lock down whole neighborhoods and nobody can go in and out. But no, I don't think he folded. Do you?
I think he did.
Yeah?
I think he did fold a little bit. You know, this was a game of chicken.
Yeah.
You know, and Trump has the leverage. But, you know, I hear both sides of the argument. The one side of the argument is we can't let these people obfuscate from the massive fraud that they're under investigation for,
right,
or soon will be if they're not. I'm sure the feds are investigating it now.
Right.
I'm certain of that. So Trump says, you know, that's more important than what this other thing is. But I think he could have done both.
I think so.
I think he could have marched in the National Guard and said, screw you, this is out of control, put huge amounts of guards around that ICE building, and right, then the investigation should have gone forward anyway.
100%. And that's sort of exactly what we were just talking about. You know, when we're talking about, you know, these people who think they're in the French resistance against the Nazis, and it's like, do you think the French resistance went up to the Nazi soldiers on the street and went na 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 boo boo, I hate you? Like, no, your whole family would have been killed.
No, they went over and asked for a light and then shot them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
what they did.
Literally. But, you know, these people are only doing this because they know they're protected. They're only doing it because they know they can get away with it, because they know there's not going to be any punishment. But if we actually wanted to punish them, the way that they're doing it would give us an ability to wrap them all up immediately. Right. I mean, if Trump was serious, he was like, you know what? Screw this. This is sedition. Charge them all with sedition. They're all out in the open. They're all making these statements about it. Why do we not just treat it like the seditious activity that it is? Why are we not just arresting the leadership that is clearly fomenting a civil war to get away with the fraud they helped commit?
We keep coming like right up to this line. And then I see Trump kind of retract behind the line, and then he comes back up to the line. He kind of retracts behind the line. That used to be considered 4D chess.
Right.
But now I'm to the point where I'm like, just do it, dude. You got a year.
Right.
You got a year. They get the majority again. They're going to impeach you to say thrice impeach president. Believe me, that's what's going to happen. And then the whole thing is going to be a new, long, boring investigation where I'll be here in a year sitting down with you talking about the details of the next BS investigation for impeachment. That's what's going to happen. It's like, man, he's got to make some moves.
Right.
He's got to make some moves. It's time for him. Like, some of these people are engaged in what I consider highly seditious activities. If you're giving stand down orders to local police with communist agitators, we got to do something about this now.
And how many things are like that? We have them dead to rights on Russiagate. We have them dead to rights on Ukraine corruption. We have them dead to rights on stealing the 2020 election. And there you go, the Netflix adaptation of the Freddie shooting.
He's a good looking guy.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's exactly right. the Alex Pretty, and it had to do with racism, of course.
Obviously, yeah. Another young, promising black man cut down in his prime by racist cops.
Yeah, racist ICE cops.
Yeah.
So I think we all
know the story.
That's what I think. I think he's got a very limited amount of time to make moves.
I do too.
And I think that he needs to start making some of them. The American people put him back into office specifically because we kind of wanted the revenge Trump.
Yeah.
We wanted Trump to come in and be like, you bastards, we know exactly what you did and we're coming for all of you. And it was overwhelming. I mean, he tore down the entire blue wall.
Yep.
It's very clear what the will of the American people is here. We want these communists to be summarily rounded up and arrested and put on trial for crimes against the United States. And that's what has been going on while they pretend that's not what's been going on.
And listen, you can call it vengeance. You can call it retribution, whatever you want. The fact is, if we don't do this, our country is being destroyed. It is going down. They're going to open up the border again. They're going to impeach Trump. They're going to jail everybody who ever helped Trump. I mean, it's over. It's over. If they get back in power again, they give amnesty to everybody who was here, tens of millions more. There's no recovering from that. So it's not even like, I just want to see communists get in trouble. It's like, no, I want to survive. I want my nation to survive.
I want to see communists get in trouble.
Oh, I also want that too. Yeah.
But let me ask you this. So just so I can get you on record.
Okay.
While I'm on your own show. So Vance versus New Scum, right?
Yeah.
Matchup for president. Who wins?
Who wins? I think J.D. Vance wins that. I think Newsom is too slimy. I think he's too,
but what about
the psychopath?
What about the female vote?
I think they get creeped out by him. I think you put enough pictures of him mixed with Patrick Bateman where he's peeling off plastic.
But I thought they liked the handsome psychopath though, bro.
A little bit, but no, I don't think he's charming enough. I think he comes across as more sleazy than charming, personally.
Fair.
Do you disagree?
I think Newsom would take Vance.
You think so?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Out of the people who are in the field right now, I think he would. The thing is like, I think Vance would beat him in every debate they had. His policies would be way better. I think that all of that would be the case. And it just ultimately wouldn't matter.
And Newsom would win.
Newsom would win. By hook or by crook.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. I think you may well be right. I just think, I don't know, maybe it's my own personal opinion on Newsom, but he's just...
All right, last
Kamala
question.
Harris
last question.
There,
we got almost no time. So if it's the case that Democrats sweep it up in the midterms, is Trump impeached?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He might get impeached before they even do that.
Yeah.
Some of the Republicans might decide to impeach, or maybe half the Republicans, resign, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and, you know, they get the majority without even having to cast a vote.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Oh, God, the freaking Republicans, man. You talk about, you know, people inside the walls worse than the enemies outside. Andrew Wilson at Paleo Christ Con. We could probably go this whole 3 hours, but I appreciate your time. TheCrucible.video. Go watch his appearance on Joe Rogan. I've seen all the clips. They're absolutely fantastic. We got clips to play on the other side. Stay with us, folks. It's The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Again, Andrew Wilson at Paleo Christ Con.
And thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here, sir.
Of course.
Till next time. Money.
I'm here to announce a new, extremely exciting product at thealexjonesstore.com, and that's Mind Fuel, brought to you by the same folks that developed Optimal Human. This is an Optimal Human product. We set out with our sponsor, Bigley, to come out with a clean, nootropic energy shot that doesn't have any letdown, but gives you clean energy. This stuff is so strong, though, I take half a shot in the morning, it's a big shot, and another half in the afternoon if I need to work late. But again, you can still sleep on it because it's not a traditional stimulant. So if you loved Optimal Human, the strongest, best, super nutrient-packed green drink out there, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And when I go through these ingredients, go research these for yourself, and then know, when you find out how great they are, that we have the very best and the very strongest in this product, Mind Fuel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, benefit, no crash, no blood sugar spike. Advantage can be used daily without guilt, and it's good for your whole body, not just your brain. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy. Advantage, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. Nootropic Alpha GPC, Citricoline, DMAE, GABA. Benefit supports mental clarity and focus. Advantage competes with premium brain formulas in a convenient shot. And the best part is, it's an adaptogenic and herbal proprietary blend. Balanced, grounded energy. Advantage appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. And then it's got high-quality electrolytes and a spectrum of high-quality B. If you love our other products, TheAlexShowStore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And if you haven't tried our Ultra Methylene Blue or our Shilajit or Irish Sea Moss or our Bovine Colostrum, you're crazy. These are all incredible products. Get your Mind Fuel now at TheAlexShowStore.com and help keep us on the air while empowering your life.
This is what we have here, everyone. Let me read it to you. The Democratic Coalition of Satan Worshippers thanks Governor Tim Walz for not standing in the way of spreading Satanism in the state capitol building. Satan has a special place for you.
While Christians are being slaughtered worldwide, over 4,800 martyred for their faith in the latest reporting period alone, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa's jihadist killing fields, not to mention the slaughtered Zoroastrians taking place in Iran, Don Lemon's stochastic terror rants fueling the growing anti-Christian narrative slide right on by in the land of the First Amendment, unchallenged by our Soros-embedded so-called justice system.
There's nothing in the Constitution that tells you what time you can protest. You can protest at any time. That's the whole point of it, is to disrupt, to make uncomfortable.
I think this DOJ, via Pam Bondi, who wears her crucifix, who will not ever address anybody's suffering, they have a problem with those types of white people being confronted and called out on their hypocrisy.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a supremacy, a white supremacy.
I have preached for many years that there will come a time when we'll find out who are Christians by label and by convenience and who are Christians by conviction. And certainly we're entering those days now. I believe we should pray for this congregation, and we should be vigilant as Christians to exercise our freedom to worship our Savior and to stand unashamed for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now the Eighth Circuit just unsealed those filings on arrest warrants tied to church invasions, where the judge's concurrence lays it bare. In this corrupted America, tainted Article III benches and Democrat urban jury pools stacked with Bolshevik sympathizers guarantee these church-disrupting, service-interrupting, child-frightening radicals will never face real justice.
The hypocrisy here is thick, and I would say that what we have here is a situation where rights were violated. Those rights need to be protected, and there is a law here that can be accessed to ensure those protections.
That's the nightmare we're living right now. This judge apparently sees storming a sanctuary, shattering worship, and terrorizing little kids as no big deal, not even illegal. But does the court of public opinion agree with what court filings revealed was said and done by the protesters? Quote, "Your parents are Nazis," end quote, was yelled directly in the faces of children while accusing parents of being Nazis who would burn in hell. Quote, "This ain't God's house. This is the house of the devil," end quote, was shouted by protester William Kelly. Accusations that the church was, quote, harboring killers, end quote, directed at the congregation. In the chaos, some protesters reportedly shouted, quote, "shoot," end quote, amid fears of guns, contributing to panic that felt like a, quote, "mass shooting," end quote, to one victim, as stairs were blocked to prevent parents from reaching Sunday school children. And now the DOJ has withdrawn its request for those five arrest warrants, including Don Lemon, following the appellate rejection.
What you witnessed Don Lemon do is churches they target. white churches, because white churches are being told you got to be friendly and nice. You just got to look past it and just love them. I love them. Let me love your hands, oh Lord. Let me love your throat as I pray for you.
Amen. Don Lemon, don't come here. You roll up in this church doing stuff like that, and it's going to be the Royal Rumble.
Fake news magas are losing their mind over something that's not even true.
I'm trying to understand, what is it exactly that you are doing, and what is it exactly that you want us to think that you're doing? You are opposition to any and everything that is successful in this country. Anything that is trying to get this country together, you are in direct opposition of.
Americans are left twisting in the wind, struggling with the constant question, where do we go from here? John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Energy shots have been all the rage for decades because they really work. But most of them are full of dyes and toxic stimulants and have huge crashes. We set out to develop a product at thealexshowstore.com that has all the very best adaptogens, nootropics to biohack your body and not just help your brain, but every cell in your entire body. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind Fuel is next level with no letdown, no crash. It is very strong. So I take half the shot in the morning, half in the afternoon, and it's just amazing. And again, the effects go on for days and days and days because these are super nutrients that are in Mind Fuel. In the time I have here, I can't tell you all the incredible ingredients. So go to thealexshowstore.com and look at what is in it, and of course, proprietary herbal ingredients as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and secure your Mind Fuel and be the reason we'll always be on the air. Thank you so much for your support. If you love our other products, you're going to love Mind Fuel.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on Band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Please do share the links. Follow us on X at InfoWars, at Harrison H. Smith, at Real Alex Jones, at AJ and Live. Great place to find and share our content. We post clips constantly. And again, this is all about getting the information out. Everything we do is free to air. Take it down, upload it yourself, remix it, make money off it. We don't care. We need this information out. We need reality to break through the lies. And that has always been the mission of InfoWars and continues to be as long as you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. There's so many major stories going on right now. Obviously, there's everything going on in Minnesota. The latest is that Tom Homan has gone down there. He met with Tim Walz. They're sort of both acting like they got the better of the other, which I think means it was a good thing. I mean, that's what you want at the end of a negotiation, is both people to think that they got the better of the other. But I would have preferred if Walz left in handcuffs, but it's fine because apparently they agreed to allow the police to go out and actually deal with the protesters so ICE isn't having to, and that's being extremely successful because it always is. Because when a bunch of rioters are attacking people, you send out the cops to arrest them, and then the problem is solved. It's a little formula we figured out about 10,000 years ago that we apparently forgot until just now. So that's good that that's happening. At the same time as that, you have a raid on the Fulton County election system in Georgia, which is absolutely fascinating, and I think most people on our side of the aisle, everybody I've talked to so far today, has the same question. Is this real, or is this a trick for the midterms? I feel like a lot of people are getting to where I've been for a while at this point, which is where when Trump does something good, you go, we'll see how this turns out. We'll see how this – I'm not going to celebrate too early. I'm not going to go out there going, it's happening, the storm has arrived, they're all going down, because we've seen this one before. Because old Charlie Brown has run up to kick the football one too many times to not know what comes next. So I don't know. So I don't know if anything's happening. However, if there was one event that lies at the heart of the whole leftist Obama-Biden house of cards, it is the 2020 election. I mean, if Donald Trump can prove that he was cheated out of the 2020 election and that Joe Biden's entire presidency was illegitimate on the face of it, what does that mean? I mean, what are the implications of that? How do you deal with that 5 years later? Arresting everybody involved, obviously. Granting Trump a third term? I don't even know. But if you were going to take down this network, if you were going to actually imprison Obama and Biden, all that, I would start with 2020 as well. That's also where I would start. It was one of the most egregious acts of sabotage the world has ever seen. And I can really only say one of. I can really only say it's one of because we've lived through about 14 of these. But one of the things about this raid on Fulton County, one of the outcomes so far has been a lot of people posting a lot of videos from back in 2020 and just after the election, which is good because it's worth reminding ourselves of exactly how fraudulent the 2020 election truly was in like 10,000 different ways. And we can go to some of these videos here. A lot of them have been posted by Trump, but we'll do this. First, we'll cover what's actually happening here, why they're raiding it, and what's going on. Oh, there's a press conference with the anti-ICE church protesters being held right now. Do we want to go to that? Let's go to that.
I'm going to return the cell phone. Let's return Nakima's cell phone. Now, they were desperate to get that cell phone. After they completed the arrest of Nakima Levy, Armstrong, and Chantel Allen, they actually followed, the group of Homeland Security agents followed and stopped one of the attorneys who was on the scene, you know, in her vehicle, and threatened to arrest her, thinking that she had took the cell phone with her.
Okay, so the church that was invaded in Minnesota in that terrorist attack that left one woman with a broken arm and a bunch of children traumatized, three people from that event were arrested. They have bailed out and are no longer in custody, and apparently now they're holding a press conference where they're complaining about their phone being seized. I think they should all be in prison at this point, but they're complaining. Let's go back to the complaining.
We have it. So they're desperate to get that cell phone. And, you know, the reason is, and it's in my motion, it's filed with the court, is because there's not going to be any meaningful evidence of a crime with this nonviolent protest in the church. You know, there's already tons of
people. Yeah, we can't listen. I don't want to listen. I mean, the entire thing was on video. What are we talking about? There's not going to be any evidence on the phone? Good. We don't need any. You don't need any more evidence. All of those people are on video planning the attack, carrying out the attack, and then bragging about the successful terroristic nature, the psychic trauma they inflicted on their political enemies after the fact. So you're talking about a cell phone. They want like a cell phone. Oh, probably because you guys are a part of a coordinated larger network that most likely includes people in the local government there. So. Yeah, we're not listening to those people anymore, actually. Actually, we're not doing that. No, we're going to talk about Fulton County because this is important. And it's been a while. It's been 6 years and more since the 2020 election. People may have forgotten. People may have never known. People may, to this day, still believe the claim that the 2020 election was the most secure election of all time. Do you remember they told you that? Remember they told you not that it was legitimate, basically, not that it was, you know, well, there may have been some fraud, but it, you know, wasn't enough to change the whole national outcome. The claim that these people made was that it was the most secure election of all time because they can't just lie about things. They have to invert everything. It's part of their satanic programming, I think. And so now, 6 years later, it looks like there may be some big moves on this. Again, I'm resisting getting too excited. I'm resisting making more out of this than it is. And at the end of the day, I ask for the 10,000th time, why are we doing more investigations? We have all of the evidence we could ever possibly need. The only thing I can think is that they really are doing some giant networks-wide takedown, so they need to do everything all at once. Because I don't understand why you wouldn't be charging January 6th, the Russiagate, all of it. And he's got a year. He's got about a year. He's got less than a year. He's got about 9 months, 8 months at this point. We're almost done with January. So that's 1 month out of 2026 down, not much to show for it. You've got 8 more months to actually do something to arrest these people. You're going to lose the midterms. And that's it. So, like, that's it for the country. So let's not do that. Let's not let that happen. This could be a move in the direction of justice. Let's go to clip 13 here. This is Fulton County being raided by the FBI. Let's watch.
Going inside of the election facility. Our photographer was able to go inside. He was let inside and allowed to be up and close. As you can see, this is interesting because one of the questions we did ask Larry was if agents were restricting his access or asking him to back up at all. And he said that so far they've been allowing reporters to get up close to the situation.
Outside, if you want to take
that. Yeah. Okay, so now agents are asking them to back up.
Actually, you shouldn't even be in this area, but...
Hey, you know what? I don't have a key, so there you go.
Okay.
Okay, so agents are asking them to back up, saying...
All right, so this is the FBI raid being conducted. Story at AJC.com. The FBI raided Fulton County's Election Operations Center Wednesday, an action apparently connected to the Trump administration's long-held, and they say disproven belief, that Fulton's handling of the 2020 presidential election was rife with fraud. And then everything got spelled backwards. What the heck? FBI agents appeared outside the Fulton County Election Hub and Operations Center in Union City on Wednesday. Hold on. Just so y'all don't think I just said something crazy. Can y'all go to dot cam here? I've never seen this in my life. The words are backwards. This is weird. You see what I'm saying? Anyway. Just so you know, this is what I'm dealing with, folks. Sometimes you hear me, I'm having trouble reading an article. Sometimes it's literally gibberish for no particular reason. I don't know. Sorry. Just wanted to let you know what I'm dealing with here. FBI agents appeared outside the Fulton County Election Hub and Operation Center to seize all physical ballots from the 2020 general election in Fulton County, all in-person absentee and other ballots and absentee ballot envelopes, all tabulator tapes for every voting machine in Fulton County, all ballot images produced during the original ballot count beginning on November 3rd, 2020, all voter rolls from the 2020 general election in Fulton County from absentee early voting, in-person, and other voter rolls, basically all of them. And if you're wondering why, there's a lot of people going, he's bringing this up again. So what the left is running with now is they're saying that by investigating this, by seizing these ballots, what he's trying to do is discredit elections overall because he's trying to cancel the midterms. Okay, that's what they're running with. So they're treating what Trump is doing now as some sort of insane overreach that he's like obsessed with proving he was right about 2020. And I guess I guess what they're implying is that he's going to, like, commit fraud to prove the fraud. I don't know what they're thinking, but again, they're trying to portray this as somehow heinous and tyrannical and, you know, a threat to elections overall. No, the threat to elections is when scumbags like you cheat in them like you did in 2020, and we have pretty much an infinite amount of evidence that you cheated in 2020. The latest bit of evidence is clip 14 here. Fulton County itself refused to turn over 500,000 ballots from 2020. So the FBI seized them under a criminal warrant authorized by U.S. magistrate judge. So, yeah, they admit it. Like, really recently, a whole bunch of impropriety in the presidential election of 2020. But we're barely scratching the surface here. Let's go to clip 14 now.
Yeah, when Democrats get caught with their hands in the cookie jar with their blatant crimes, I would say watch out for the riots. We may have Democrat instituted riots later, like they did in Minnesota, Minneapolis, when the Somali pirates got caught stealing billions of dollars in American taxpayer money, working with these Minnesota Democrat politicians. They tried to distract with riots. So who knows what they're going to do here. But I would just say this with Fulton County. What do they have? 500,000 ballots from the 2020 election that they didn't want to turn over to the Justice Department as part of a lawsuit by the Justice Department. And then you had the FBI go raid and get these documents. It was authorized by a United States magistrate judge to get these voting records from 2020. What did they have to hide? It's amazing that 2020 was an anomaly, and Democrats squeaked by Joe Biden, who couldn't get out of his home and couldn't fill his COVID circles in 2020, somehow squeaked by in Georgia. And, they don't want to turn over the evidence, and they say, it's voter intimidation. How the hell is it voter intimidation to turn over ballots from 2020 that aren't tied to the voters? They are decoupled from the voter registration. So you wouldn't know how these people voted anyway. They just want to look at the ballots. It's obvious that the Democrats are hiding this because they have something to hide. They know that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen, and they're going to get caught.
Yeah, you really can't come to any other conclusion. Let's go to clip 61 here now. Fulton County, Georgia 2020 election, all 374,124 in-person ballot images out of the 500,000 original election count went missing in violation of federal and state law. Let's watch.
374,128 in-person ballot images from the 524,000 that Fulton certified. They're all missing. All 370, these are all the in-person votes, all the in-person ballot images are missing. And that's a violation of federal and state law. Now, in fairness to Fulton County, as you remember, we found other counties in which everything was missing. At least Fulton retained their absentee ballots. So if you remember our press conference from November, we found 70 counties and 1.7 million original ballot images are missing from the November election.
Guys, it's just, they stole the election. I don't know how much more clear it could be, but I got a lot of videos that prove it. I mean, beyond any doubt, I've got affidavits that prove it. And we went over this in 2020 and then again and then again and again and again ever since then. I mean, they stole the election. What is hard to understand about this? They stole the election and then they silenced any investigations into it. And then they said, you're a terrorist if you say that it was stolen. And then they said, actually, it was the most litigated election of all time and the most secure election of all time. And you're a terrorist if you say otherwise. Let's go to clip 10 here. This is Dr. Johnston. The 2020 election records are sitting in about 700 boxes in Fulton County Warehouse. This is how the records of our elections are being stored and held and cared for by the fine folks at Fulton County. Let's watch.
I take it you assume that all of this information is going to be readily available, and if it's not, that's going to be an issue?
Steve, the best I know is that the documents are contained in about 700 boxes that have been held in the clerk of the court's area in this warehouse. And my understanding is they're completely unorganized and not inventoried well. We don't know where the documents are in those 700 boxes. And I have advised people over the last several months that we have no other choice but to recommend that all 700 boxes be removed and taken out of the hands of Fulton County so that we can look for the documents that we've been looking for years and have been unable to get Fulton County to provide or produce or even try to find. So we're looking for those tabulator tapes. We're looking for numbered voter list. We would like to know who is eligible to vote for the 2020 election. We're looking for documents to prove that the ballot boxes that they claimed produced thousands of votes were actually real ballot boxes. And the whole purpose of this is to look for areas of inconsistency and irregularities. So to understand what happened, if it did happen, so it will not happen in future elections. That's the point of the state election board's investigation and participation in this.
Sounds like fascism to me. Sounds like you're being a fascist. We need good elections, actually. It's actually the most democratic thing you could possibly ever want. But it's just like everything else, right? I went on a big rant yesterday. If you care about these things, you should be concerned about this. The Democrats, the people who think that, you know, everybody in America needs an equal voice. Aren't you angry that they destroyed your election system? Aren't you the ones that should be mad that people's voices, that the majority's will is not being... I'm kidding, of course, they're despicable hypocrites. Let's go to clip 60. FBI Director Cash has now seized the 2020 election ballots from the Fulton County, Georgia election office. Here's just another arrestation of just some of the issues in Fulton County. Let's watch.
Thanks. Can you cite us some examples of evidence of fraud that is in the public record? Not something that you have investigated and uncovered, but... any other evidence of fraud?
Well, the evidence of the counterfeit ballots that we talked about earlier, again, these were mail-in ballots that weren't folded from being mailed. They were not on the correct paper stock. They were not marked with a writing instrument. They were marked with toner, according to senior poll managers who have sworn affidavits in court cases right now. They testified that they were marked the same way down ballot for dozens in a row. That's clear evidence of fraud in the 2020 election that was known before January 3rd. In fact, it was known, before December 3rd.
There were 100 of those ballots, correct?
No one knows how many ballots were because we've spent 3 years in court trying to get those ballots public record. We actually appealed our case to the Georgia Supreme Court. We won the case in the Georgia Supreme Court. They declared that we had standing all along, and the Superior Court judge had made a complete error. That case went back down. He then passed it off to another judge who we believed was too impartial. We filed a motion to recuse. So after 3 years, we have still not got to see the ballots that there were 6 sworn affidavits for that were counterfeit. That is not the appropriate way to investigate. And the Secretary of State's office filed an amicus brief against us to try to prevent us from looking at the ballots. What kind of a Secretary of State would have done that?
Corrupt one, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. So did you hear that? So, again, the legal process to get these ballots, they went through. They appealed it up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided, yeah, you need to give them the ballots, and they just didn't. It's the Democrat-Republican paradigm. Republicans do everything perfectly and just don't get what they deserve. Democrats break every law on the books, and nothing happens to them. But why is it like this? Honestly, why is it like this? How do you have the Supreme Court of Georgia making a decision, hand over the ballots, and the person just goes, nope, and there's nothing you can do about it until 7 years later your president sends the FBI to go kick their door down. It just doesn't matter to them. If the court decides in their favor, then great, it's the law of the land and you're an evil person for opposing it. And if the court goes against them, then they just ignore the court and nothing happens to them over and over and over again. So that's why they're going into Fulton County, because the law says they have to hand over those ballots. And the criminals that rigged the election in 2020 didn't want to hand over the ballots. I'm frankly surprised if any of the ballots even exist. If I was in, I would have burned them a long time ago.
Now, this new product is incredible. It's from our sponsor, Bigly, at thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human, you love the green powder super nutrient, the very best out there. Well, this is Optimal Human Nootropic called Mind Fuel. Introducing Mind Fuel, a super healthy, super strong energy nootropic adaptogen, which doesn't make you sick, doesn't have a letdown. It is incredible. Not just a few of the bottles. Look how many bottles are in there. And I only drink about a half a bottle a day. It's so strong. Look at that right there, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what comes in each box of this. And it is simply amazing. Optimal Human Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, no crash, no blood sugar spike, can be used daily without any guilt. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. It's also got all these other incredible compounds like citicoline, alpha-GPC, GABA, supports mental clarity and focus. It appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. High-quality electrolytes and B vitamins. More than a brain shot, true functional fuel. Optimal Human Nootropic Mind Fuel, that's the name of the product, isn't just another energy product. It's a smarter alternative for consumers who demand clarity, control, and clean performance without compromise. Get 25% off for life when you become a subscriber, canceling time for free. Get Mind Fuel now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you've never tried the original superfood greens, Optimal Human, you really want to get this as well. It's the best green food I've ever had at thealexjonesstore.com. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of cool collectible knives and more. And that's what funds this, and that's what does this. And I really appreciate your support because I can't do it without you. So I want to commend and thank the listeners. But just like I steered you right on gold and silver 2.5 years ago, I got out of the market before that. I said, now's the time. I was totally right. Just like I steered you right on politics. These products are incredible. Get our ultramethylene blue. It is the best in the market. Our Shilajit is the best. Our Irish Sea Moss is the best. Our turmeric is the strongest. Ultimate turmeric. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You are missing out. You don't get it. I want to thank those that have supported. I want to challenge those that haven't. What are you waiting for?
Just what I needed for my morning jog.
Working 12 to 13 hours a day, Mind Fuel keeps me on my toes and in the action.
Try this energy shot for a boost like no other. Power your mind and body today.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I understand Donald Trump, President Trump, has gone live from the Oval Office, so we're going to go to that now. We're basically live, but we're about a minute back because we wanted to watch the whole thing. Here's President Trump in the Oval Office right now.
Thank you very much, everybody. Been a little busy day.
right? We had a good morning, and now we're having a good evening, and we're going to a premiere in a little while. But there's nothing more important than what we're doing right now, in my opinion. Today I'm signing a historic executive order to combat the scourge of addiction and substance abuse. Big deal in this country and probably in every country. We're calling it the Great American Recovery Initiative. I'm grateful to be joined by co-chairs of this sweeping new effort, Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and senior advisor to the White House Great American Recovery Initiative, Catherine Burgum. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, sir.
Where's Bobby? Bobby? Hello, Bobby. Come here, come here. I love Bobby. He's doing a great job, Catherine, right? Do we think so? Who's doing a better job, him or your husband? maybe the husband. He's doing a good job.
I'm just getting started.
So. They're both doing very well, and now you're going to do better than both of them. Thanks as well to Attorney General Pam Bondi, Secretary Doug Burgum, Secretary Scott Turner, Secretary Doug Collins, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, who's got some pretty good news, Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty McCary, NIH Director Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Oh, I've gotten good at that.
You are.
Administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who's doing a fantastic job, and Director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, Sarah Carter. I also want to introduce a great friend of mine who happened to be here, and he's very much committed to this. He knows how important it is for our country. He's built a tremendous American company. It's called WeatherTech. I guess you've seen the ads. I've seen the ads. I think they're great ads, but more importantly, it's a great product. David McNeil. David, congratulations on what you've done. It's incredible.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Really great. And the president of WeatherTech, Ryan Granger. Ryan, congratulations. What a great job. They built an American company, and it's a thriving company, too, so with a great product.
It's great to be here in America.
You know, when I was in the private sector, I'd always buy the floor mats, but now that I'm president, I no longer have to buy floor mats. But you made a great floor mat, and you still do, and lots of other things. Many of those with me today have personally known the heartache of a loved one taken by drug or alcohol addiction. I do, just like millions of American families. Every year we lose an estimated 300,000 people to drug and alcohol abuse, and the real number is probably much, much higher than that. Thankfully, drug overdose deaths plummeted by 21% in the last year. We're working very hard on it. We've closed the southern border, seized over 47 million fentanyl pills and 10,000 pounds of fentanyl powder. That's a record. And I have formally designated Dr. And I'll tell you what, we have a group of doctors, some of them behind me, who have just been incredible, and they've really wanted this, designated the drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. And for some reason, they didn't want to do that until we came along, but they are indeed foreign terrorist organizations. With our action in the Gulf of America, that sounds so nice when I hear the Gulf of America, drugs entering our country by sea are down 97%. So when you see the boats being hit, those boats kill, on average, 25,000 people a boat. So that's 25,000, I would assume, mostly American lives, but lives are being saved. Now we're taking a bold action to help Americans struggling with all forms of addiction so they can get the help and the support that they need to free themselves from the horrible burden of dependency. The Great American Recovery Initiative will bring together federal, state, local, and private sector resources to support addiction recovery, treatment,
and the Great American Recovery. Very cool stuff. Again, you know, RFK Jr. continues to be a shining light of the Trump administration, but he's just signing executive orders there, starting new programs to try to help people fighting addiction here in America. I think there are like so many. All right. That's fine. It's good. It's all right. It's pretty good. It's just, you ever feel like Washington, D.C. is kind of disconnected from the rest of us? You ever get that sense? You ever get the feeling that, like, what we're concerned about and dealing with, what our hopes and dreams are, they're just not even remotely close to what Washington, D.C. is getting up to? It really is something to behold. I mean, at this moment, you've got the raid on Fulton County, Georgia. You've got Minneapolis, Minnesota basically being in a state of rebellion. You've got apparently a bunch of, you know, big deals with Russia happening. Excuse me. Zelensky is tweeting out stuff going, I didn't even know about this agreement. So apparently Trump is negotiating with Putin and Zelensky doesn't even know what's going on. That's pretty interesting. There's a big drive towards war with Iran happening right now with the heads of the IDF and Mossad both in Washington. Benjamin Netanyahu just announced his seventh visit of the second Trump administration in February. And it's like, can we get an update on any of those? Can we get a statement from Trump about any of that stuff going on, the stuff that has dominated the headlines across America for the last couple of weeks? Can we get an address on that? I hear Trump is going live from the Oval Office. I think, okay, here we go. We're going to hear about what's really going on in Fulton. We're going to hear an announcement, an update for what's going on in Minnesota. But it's an executive signing order. I just say that because it's like that for everybody in the government. I mean, again, right now, you ask people what they're talking about, even just on the street or whatever, it's Amazon firing 13,000 employees while bringing in 13,000 H-1B visas, by the way. Or it's the Fulton County thing. Or it's like all this other stuff that's like existential stuff for us. Meanwhile, you tune into C-SPAN or see a clip of what Congress is up to, and they're literally just like arguing about how much money to send to Uganda. And it's just like, it is just not even remotely connected to the governance of America. We actually just have a cabal on the Potomac that just spends all day, every day, jousting each other on where to spend our money. Like, that's what they do. All of their big accomplishments are just, we spend other people's money. It's actually kind of hilarious when you hear them just going like, we've achieved so much. We started this fund. We did this. We did this. And it's like, all right, in the private sector, if you build up a company that's worth $10 million, yeah, that's an accomplishment. You achieved something. You did something that 99.9% of people are incapable of, and that even those 0.01% of people that are capable of it, they don't have the drive to actually see it through, and they don't have the luck to actually succeed. If you create anything, a company, an agency, a charity that brings in or is worth $10 million, you really have achieved something. Then you've got congressmen and senators who seem to inflate themselves as if they've achieved that goal. They walk around, they strut around with the confidence of somebody who's built a $10 million company, only their $10 million agency is them going, take $10 million from Americans, give it to me. That's their accomplishment. That's what they did. That's what they achieved. But they pat themselves on the back like it's some, you know, gigantic victory. We put $10 million into the National Endowment for Democracy. Of course, for them, it would be $315 million. Like, that's an accomplishment. And I guess the accomplishment is the party politics, right? It's like the Democrats got what they wanted against those rascally Republicans who are always trying to stop them. So really what we have is like two groups of out-of-touch old boomers sitting in Washington fighting each other over our money. And that's what they achieve. Those are their accomplishments. Is the Democrats, they won the argument, so they get to steal all the money now. But in exchange, they've allowed the Republicans to also steal a bunch of money. They've stolen that money. They don't deserve it. They didn't earn it. They're going to waste it. Nothing positive is going to come from it. But tack it on the board, but hang a medal around their neck. They did it. They achieved it. All the hard work paid off. But I love statements like that. We have been working hard to find an agreement. It's like, you're actually just sitting with a giant pile of other people's money debating who gets what portion. And that's the big job you did. That's the big work that you did. Again, if you're in the private sector and you're funded $315 million a year, You know what people expect? Something. You know what people expect for $315 million a year in the private sector? Some sort of positive outcome from that money. It might be a product. It might be an event of some sort. But you'd expect something to come of it. This is the thing with the government. They steal your tens of millions of dollars, and then it's just gone. It's just in the ether. It's away. It's in somebody's pocket somewhere, I'm sure. But you don't have to prove it did anything effective. You don't have to come back and go, you gave us $350 million. We freed 300,000 people from tyranny. Like, no, there's nothing like that. It just disappears. Anyway, I don't want to ramble about this forever, but I hate the government, I think is the point I'm trying to make here. I hate them. They do nothing for us. And I don't know why we occasionally have to tune in to hear a bunch of skeletal freaks debating about how to spend millions of dollars they didn't earn. Absolutely infuriating. I guess addiction's a good thing to do. All right, let's get back to Fulton County, Georgia, shall we? A federal judge authorized the FBI to seize 2020 election records from Fulton County, Georgia. It's a criminal search warrant, not a subpoena, issued January 28, 2026 by the U.S. District Court after finding a probable cause. The warrant cites federal election laws and authorizes seizures of ballots, tabulator tapes, ballot images, voter rolls, and electronic data from the 2020 election. This is a comprehensive evidentiary sweep, not a narrow inquiry. The timing is also interesting. 6 years after the election, highly unusual, absent new evidence or unresolved record retention issues. I think what we can go to here is clip number 12. This was posted by Donald Trump earlier today. Little explanation as you see the moving trucks moving the pallets of ballots to a more secure location. Let's watch.
These may look like random truck boxes, but Jason, explain to us what is currently happening 10 feet away from us.
Yeah, David, this is a beautiful day. We've been trying to get these ballots, everything from 2020, pretty much since 2020. We've been told time and again, everything was fine. Don't worry about it. Why are you investigating 2020? This happened so many years ago. You know what? If there was nothing to hide, they would have showed us years ago. Now we're going to find out. These trucks are on their way to Virginia. They're going to be out of state very soon, and it is time to get to the bottom of 2020.
So basically, it's about 700 ballot boxes from the 2020 election, because,
yes,
again, this is the Fulton County Election Office. Today, FBI executed a search warrant where they seized essentially those 700 boxes.
Everything.
And now they've officially left. This is the train, as we'll
this
say,
is the
that's
train.
On the way, hopefully, out of Georgia.
It's safe keepings.
Exactly. We don't want a judge to suddenly, and real quickly, we'll get to the judge in a second. These are actual people that you know that you've been fighting together with since 2020.
Yes, yes.
Trying to make this a possibility. You've been here till the minute that they left, and it seems like they're probably going to follow them to make sure that everything will be fine and secure.
We've got to make sure the ballots get there and there are no hiccups.
Yeah.
But this is a beautiful day.
Absolutely.
We need to get to the bottom of this. Whoever won, we just want the answers.
Yeah.
It's time to stop hiding.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations, Jason, and to everyone.
Of course, like so many other things in the recent past, the fact that they've gone to such lengths to hide this information is in and of itself proof that they cheated. Why would, if it was the most secure election ever, if it was 100% legitimate, well, why would you not show them the ballots? It would put all of this to rest. It would be a slap in their face. It would destroy their entire argument. Because they committed fraud. Because they committed fraud. And we have known this for 6 years at this point. Let's go to a couple more videos about Fulton County in particular. Let's go to clip 15 here. This was posted by Trump as well. Fulton County. In this video, experts show how ballots were pulled from different batches, flipped, mixed, run through different scanners on different days, in order to make it look like they were fresh sets of ballots. Apparently, I guess at some point they figured out that just putting the same stack of ballots over and over again, pretty easy to detect. You need to give them a little shuffle, a little card shuffle before you put them in again. Here's this being discussed again 5 years ago. Let's watch.
Now, here's the part that I think is really concerning that you guys never got a chance to see. So this is a chart completed by our experts, okay? And I think there were some comments around, well, maybe somebody just made an administrative error and we had a stack of ballots over here that were somebody thought weren't scanned. So we just grabbed that stack of ballots and we ran them through the scanner again, human error. This chart is very complicated, but let me explain this chart in very simple terms using some color paper. This is what happened, and this is what our experts can prove and have proven, and this is what y'all missed because we were not given a chance to rebut. All right. So this stack of yellow ballots. All right. We got pink ballots, yellow ballots, and I hope y'all pay attention to this. Yes, James left. But and blue ballots. And let's say we run these ballots through one scanner. Okay, scanner one. Batch one, scanner one. Batch two, scanner two. Batch three, scanner three. So the thought is, well, maybe somebody was in a hurry and they just said, hey, late in the day, we forgot to scan this batch of ballots. Go scan them. That's not what happened. Here's what happened. And I'm going to ask you one question. Is this administrative error? Somebody, I don't know who, and I don't even know why, took ballots from this batch, not necessarily from the top, maybe from the middle. And, oh, by the way, flipped them in reverse order. Okay. And then they went to the next batch. Again, not taken from the top, I'm going to take them from the middle. And made a new batch. And guess what they did with that new batch? They took that batch and ran it through a different scanner. Let's say scanner four. And oh, by the way, on a different day. So my question is that an administrative error? I believe that was intentional human intervention. And I'm not a lawyer, but the lawyers tell me that intentional human intervention is the predicate for election fraud. And again, you guys missed that little demonstration because we were not permitted to rebut the present out.
So, yeah, there you go. Do you understand what he just said? So, in other words, he's saying, look, if you had a stack of ballots, got run through a tabulator, and then maybe somebody, maybe it was all disorganized, somebody put that stack down, somebody else didn't realize it had already been counted, ran it through again. That would be an error, could be an innocent error, and it would be easily detectable because you'd have two stacks of exactly the same votes in exactly the same order, or I guess in this case it would be the reverse order because, you know, you take one off the top. And once you do that, you reverse the order. Like he just said, you know, some of the stacks were in reverse order, showing that they'd gone through. But instead of that, which could theoretically be explained through human error, accident, not realizing that a ballot stack had already, but instead you have people who very clearly took a stack that had already been fed through a tabulator, had already been scanned, shuffled it, mixed them around, put one stack over here and then half of the other stack over there because they were deliberately attempting to hide the fact that they were running the same ballots, meaning it could not have been an accident that that occurred. They took steps to deliberately cover up what they were doing, which is, of course, a sign of guilt. Fulton County admits to verifying 315,000 votes in 2020 without poll workers' signatures. Fulton County officials, and this is from December 23rd, 2025, so 1 month ago, Fulton County officials admitted they did not properly sign tabulator tapes after the 2020 election, a violation of state regulations. The county also noted it had misplaced other tabulator tapes and documents related to the controversial election. So again, as all these lefties or mainstream media reporters claim, this is all settled and there's nothing, there's no reason to do this. It's one headline's like, Keystone Cash is... and his whatever, just insulting and acting like this is silly and not a real thing. No, it's a real thing. And a month ago, they admitted to not being able to confirm the validity of 315,000 votes in a race that was decided by 11,000 votes. Yeah, kind of a gigantic issue, actually. Let's go to clip 65 here. This was also Fulton County, Georgia, during the 2020 election. Let's watch.
There was no water main break, at all. There was a toilet leak about 16 or 18 hours earlier in the day, leaking from the ceiling from a suite above. It was cleaned up. It had no impact on this election. The water main break pronouncement was obviously made to clear the room of all poll watchers and the media. So they were told that night that the vote count would be suspended because the water main break, and that they would resume the vote count the next morning. The next morning, everybody was stunned to learn that the people at State Farm Arena, there were five women that worked for about 2.5 hours from just before 11 p.m. until just before 1 a.m. of scanning ballots. And the disturbing thing about it is that there were five of these desks with women at each of the five desks. And we've labeled the first one here, kind of focused on her. She's wearing a purple top, desk one. This is at 4X speed, so we don't have to sit there and watch, you know, it in a slower speed. But you can see that this lady is taking the same stack of ballots. And once she runs them through the scanner, there she goes. She sticks them back in and runs them a second time and a third time. And then the lady to her right, wearing the yellow top, we've got a second video that shows that she did the same thing with a stack of ballots on her desk. And so there's ballot scan number three from desk number one. One man, one vote just went out the window at State Farm Arena on the night of November the 3rd, 2020. And it's here for all us to see. This is much like going to trial with a who ran the red light case. And instead of having people coming in and testifying about who ran the red light, you got a video showing who ran the red light.
It should be beyond any reasonable doubt, but I guess it's hard to prove if they never let your case go to court. So I guess if you can just claim that somebody doesn't have standing or just throw it out on the face of it, which is what happened to pretty much every single election challenge lawsuit that was brought forward, and the investigations into this stuff that were supposed to be going on were deliberately shut down by Bill Barr and even people like the Pennsylvania Attorney General at the time who was looking into it. Got an angry phone call from Bill Barr screaming at him, you know, don't touch this. This is ours. So they, you know, the Fed swooped in, said, we'll handle this. Don't worry. This investigation, you know, it's bigger than you. This is above your pay grade, son. And then they just put it in a filing cabinet and never touched it again. So, I mean, that's how the cover up worked. It wasn't that sophisticated or complicated. Just you had thousands of people signing affidavits, providing eye-hand witness, first-hand witness. You've got security camera footage showing what's going on, but you have enough judges saying you don't have standing, you're not allowed to bring this case, or, you know, an FBI and a federal agency that can swoop in, commandeer an investigation, and then scuttle it completely. That's all it needs, really. Combine that with a virus they released from a lab on purpose, and you stole yourself an election. We'll show you videos about that on the other side. I do want to remind you, folks, we have new knives at thealexjonesstore.com, including the one I carry as an everyday carry piece. There are three different blades, Midnight Black, Forest Green, and Stealth Silver. They're all fantastic. I really do enjoy this knife. I was carrying around a different one until we got these, and I started using it, and I carry it every day now, and you will too. It's just the right size, clips nicely, works well, doesn't open if I don't want it to. And it's fantastic.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, you know, Saint Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me. And it is the bestseller. It's, I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Undesigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antonio, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. We still have a lot to talk about. We're going to continue to break down what's happening in Fulton County, Georgia. Actually, we're just going to show you, just to remind you, a little refresher, since it's been 5 years and more, it's over 6 years at this point, that they stole the election. No, under 6 years, over five. We'll get back into that. I'm just going to show you some videos. If you haven't seen them, they are going to blow your mind. Before we do that, I want to take a quick break, quick little sojourn, little jaunt into the concrete jungle, the city that never sleeps, the Big Apple, the nuclear wasteland once known as New York City. They elected a socialist mayor who is finding a problem with his ideology, a problem with his political agenda. He requires vast amounts of your money, and it doesn't exist. If you never thought about this, apparently. He wants to make grocery stores and transportation free and free childcare and free health care and free everything. But somebody's got to pay for it. But it's not free and it never will be free. So who's going to pay for it is the question. Zoran Mamdani doesn't have an answer. But he's only been in office for less than a month, and he's already blaming his predecessor for his problem. Let's go to clip 51 here. This is Mayor of New York City, Zoran Mamdani, talking about how he was basically betrayed by Eric Adams. Let's watch.
New York City is facing a serious fiscal crisis. There is a massive fiscal deficit in our city's budget to the tune of at least $12 billion. We did not arrive at this place by accident. This crisis has a name and a chief architect. In the words of the Jackson Five, it's as easy as ABC. This is the Adams budget crisis.
The Adams budget crisis, $12 billion shortfall that Eric Adams left to Zoran Mamdani. Socialists, they never get a break, can they? Mamdani to call for a tax hike, citing that $12 billion budget deficit from the Adams administration. Here's the problem, though. Eric Adams tried desperately to not spend this $12 billion, and it was the progressive socialist that forced them to spend the $12 billion. Here's a video of that happening.
Support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we were just getting Venezuela. Now we're getting Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian-speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City. And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We had a $12 $1 trillion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. And so I say to you, as I turn it over to you, this is some of the most educated, some of the most knowledgeable, probably more of my commissioners and deputy commissioners and chiefs live in this community. So as you ask me a question about migrants, tell me what role you played.
So there you go. That's Eric Adams, Mayor Eric Adams, wall mayor, saying if you accept these migrants, you're going to leave a $12 billion budget deficit. They ignore him. They say, shut up, racist. We're bringing in the migrants anyway. And now the new mayor is going, gee, where'd this $12 billion deficit come from? Damn that Eric Adams. He did this to us. And now you have to pay for it. And so he's going to raise taxes on everybody. It's only been a month, folks. Are you sick of it yet? Are you sick of socialism? Because it gets a hell of a lot worse.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
The globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday evening. I'm actually going to be hosting the Alex Jones Show tomorrow. Very excited for that. And I want to remind you again and actually tell you about it in full. Where's my knife? Where did I put it? This is my problem. Luckily, my knife, the one I carry every single day that I got from thealexjonesstore.com, has a handy little clip. So usually it's fits nicely in my pocket. We have three types of knives, actually. They're premium everyday carry folding knives, Midnight Black, Forest Green, and Stealth Silver. These are purpose-built everyday carry blades designed for durability, reliability, and real-world use, not just novelty imports. It's a 3.5-inch high-carbon Damascus steel blade, titanium handle with G10 scales, ball-bearing pivot system, ambidextrous interlock, meaning you can open and close it left or right-handed. Plus, it has a custom signature presentation box. It would actually make a really great gift. The box itself is kind of a work of art. When I got mine, I mean, I still have my box. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But the box itself is so nice, you don't want to throw it away. Just goes to show you the quality and care we put into all of our products. And exclusive to the Alex Jones store is that custom box, as well as the Alex Jones logo, his signature etched on the side. And this is a limited production run, but there are fantastic knives that work extremely well. I've been carrying mine every day, using it every day since we first got them in, and hasn't dulled, hasn't, you know, messed up. Sometimes if you use a knife enough, you know, it won't be as, strong that it'll like start to open by itself, kind of. I don't know. If you carry knives every day, you know that, you know, the less quality ones will open up in your pocket or, you know, just won't have that satisfying click that it did. But I've been carrying this around for months at this point, and it's like it's brand new. I use it every day, carry it around, because we won't steer you wrong, folks. We take the supplements that we sell, we use the knives that we sell, we wear the shirts that we sell, and it's because we know they're great, and we don't want to sell you something you don't want. So whatever you buy at thealexjonesstore.com, of course you're getting a fantastic and high-quality product, but best of all, you keep us on the air and in the fight. We cannot do it without your help. With your help, there's nothing we can't do. With your help, we'll continue to operate as long as humanly possible. That is dependent on you going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. But Whatever you get, know that you are contributing to this singular outlet for truth, justice, and the American way. And just know that pretty much everything that is big breaking news these days, you're an InfoWars listener. You know we've been on top of this the entire time. In fact, I was asking the crew to find, this might be kind of dangerous to do. This is how confident I am. I don't remember exactly what our reaction was, but I do remember being in, I think I was in this studio with Owen Schroyer on election night 2020 when it was announced a water main broke. And unless I'm mistaken, I seem to remember at that very moment going, what? No, this is BS. This is BS. They're lying to kick out the observers. Like, we watched it all live, folks. We watched them steal the election live. So we've known this the whole time. And the whole time, who was leading the marches to D.C.? We led like four marches before January 6th, the Stop the Steal marches. Nobody stormed into the Capitol. Nobody did whatever. We peacefully marched through Washington, D.C. in gigantic protest, shutting down the city, being attacked viciously by Antifa over and over again. Families of people, like fathers holding their children, crying as Antifa's like yelling at them and spitting on them. I mean, it was crazy, but we were there. We were in the front. We were the tip of the spear. We put our money where our mouth is. We don't just tell you about what's going on. We encourage you to get involved. We encourage you to get active, and we join you there on the front lines. That's what sets InfoWars apart. That's what makes us dangerous. So again, I've been saying since, you know, we got kicked off of every website on a single day in 2018, why do you think it was Alex Jones and not somebody else? I mean, other stuff say things that are similar to Alex. Why is it Alex alone? And it's a couple things. For one, it's because of InfoWars and the InfoWars store, because Alex designed an engine that can operate indefinitely, that does not depend on anybody except for the audience. Nobody else can stop us, because as much as they're trying to destroy the fundamental underlying principles of our country, there's still such a thing as capitalism. We have products. You want to buy them. There's not much the government can do to step in, as long as the products themselves aren't illegal, which they're not. They hate that. Because one of the most effective methods of the globalist is not destruction, but cooperation, to co-opt somebody, to go in and say, hey, you're pretty talented, but you know it takes a lot of work to run a whole network. Why don't you join our network? It'll be easier. You'll be paid better. I mean, what's not to love about that? And of course, once you sign your life over to them, once you're in their thrall or dependent upon them, well, you better push the company line or else your life's over. It won't be destroyed. They don't want you to know that you can do it yourself. They don't want you to know that actually just some dude in Texas can start printing DVDs at home and selling them on cable access, and that can morph and evolve and transmogrify into a network that can take down the New World Order. That's what we achieved. That's what Alex achieved. And they wanted to dispel that lesson. They wanted to tell you that that was wrong, that that wasn't possible, that you can't do that, that you'll be destroyed if you do that. That was one of the reasons. But I think the primary reason was because we always say, go out and get involved. We always have the opposite message of the white-pilling QAnon people of sit back, trust the plan, don't worry about it. No, get involved, get active. Not only is it necessary, not only is it fun, not only is it feel good to go out and actually do something positive to try to bring about a change, it's actually a necessity. And it's actually the thing that the people in power fear the most. And actually a part of the purpose of a lot of their messaging is to convince you that you are voiceless, that you can't do anything about it, that the powers that be are too powerful to oppose, so you might as well go along with them. That's a lie. That's a confidence game. And the existence of Alex Jones and the existence of InfoWars disproves that argument, which is why they hate us and want us destroyed. But they can't destroy us because of you, and we thank you for that. And we encourage you, because even though we are, you know, not able to go out and lead marches as much anymore, we wish we could. It's the lawsuits, honestly. You can. You can still do it. We need you out there, you know, being our voice bringing us the video so we can share it to our audience. And I'm just so proud of what we've achieved already. But again, none of anything happening right now should be a surprise. Like even when the Somali stuff first started popping off a couple months ago, remember I played the song, the Alex Jones songs. It's in that song. He says, "We love our Somalis. Oh, they're so good." It's like, yeah, did you not know the Somalis were a problem? We knew in like 2017. Why didn't you know the Somalis were a problem population? Why didn't you know that they were trying to trans kids as an effort to destroy the nuclear family and impose the very extremity of communism where you don't even own your own children? The state does. Because Alex Jones was talking about that in 2015. Alex Jones, you know, in the Magellan, the famous Magellan rant, where he's yelling about Justin Bieber. Why is he so mad at Justin Bieber? What did Justin Bieber do to inspire the righteous indignation of Alex Jones? He was telling people that climate change was going to kill everybody. How many people knew climate change was BS 20 years ago? Because InfoWars did. I'm just saying, folks, when you think about how right we've been, I'm not just trying to puff us up. I'm not just saying, look how right we are. I'm saying it for a reason, because the implications of that, the understanding that should come from that, is that the people in power also knew, is that how can InfoWars know this stuff if nobody else did? Are we special? Do we have a crystal ball? Or are we the only outlet that simply says what people think? We're the only outlet out there. We're the only, you know, political function that can just come out and say, Somalis are criminals. We should get them out of here. They're all pirates. They're going to rob us of billions of dollars. Everybody knows it. The Somalis know it. The people bringing them over know it. The people in Congress know it, but are too afraid to say it. So we say it. So that's the point of me saying that we are right about everything, is not just to puff ourselves up. It's to point out that there was never a mistake. That the rest of the media, it's not like we're the crazy ones. That's the point. We have been right the entire time. How has everybody else been wrong? How has every single other outlet, even outlets on the right? Fox News was one of the first ones to come out and call it for Biden. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the election was rigged. Anybody paying attention knew the election was rigged. Everybody who was paying attention to COVID knows it came from a lab. Everybody who was paying attention to the vaccines knew the vaccines didn't stop transmission and only made it worse. Why was InfoWars the only one saying it? Why are we the only ones ever saying it? And because everybody not saying it is in on it. Sorry to tell you. Sorry to let you know. So when I say that we're right about it, when I say that we routinely report on this stuff 5+ years before it becomes common knowledge, not to brag, it's to point out that you are in a society run by liars. And InfoWars is a rare oasis in this desert of truth. Okay? Government mass surveillance, Epstein's deaths, and guys, it goes on and 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 on. We're right about everything. There's nothing that we're wrong about, y'all. It's crazy, but it's true. So support us. Will you please support us? Please, for the love of God. If our track record isn't impressive enough, what more could we possibly do? But let's go to some videos here, because just to remind you, just in case you weren't paying attention the last couple of years, yes, the 2020 election was stolen. We knew it was stolen before it was ever even stolen, folks. I will brag about knowing how it would be stolen months before the election ever happened. Maybe I'll find that tweet here during this video. Clip 69, this is how they stole the 2020 election. It wasn't all that complicated. Let's watch. How to steal an election.
Start with a virus, import it into America. Talk about it nonstop. Call some governors. Not them. That's your guys. Put patients into nursing homes. Kill thousands. Blame the president. Keep blaming. Blame some more. Lock down small business. Kill the economy. Push mail-in voting. Stoke a race war. Call for riots. Pick a candidate. No, not her. Yeah, that's more like it. Lock him in his basement. Shield him from the press. Don't cover this. Don't cover this. Don't cover this. Keep doing that. Ignore the economic recovery. Downplay the world peace. Pump the pulse. Pump, pump. Don't stop pumping. Install your software in swing states. That was fast. Take control of polling stations. Call off the election when you're losing. Kick everyone out. Pull out all the extra ballots. Get the software to do its thing. Get the media to say it's over. Call the big tech guys. Ban anyone who notices. Act like the whole thing never happened. Stealing the most powerful republic in the world. It's that easy.
Yep, that was pretty much it. That's pretty much how it worked. And it was easy to see from about June of 2020. It was obvious what was going to happen. Because I remember I did a post in August of 2020. Because people still thought that lockdown was about to end. You guys remember that? Remember in 2020? When every week people would be like, is it going to end now? Is lockdown over? And they'd be like, well, we're extending it a month. Well, it's going to go on for a little longer. People were still thinking, well, it's got to be over by election day, right? I mean, we can't be locked down for that long. It's supposed to be 2 weeks. It's been 9 months. What are we doing? And it was in August of that year that it was just obvious to follow the chain of logic to go, they're going to stay locked down, mail-in ballots to cheat. If you call out cheating, they're going to say it's domestic terrorism, and they're going to do a big pogrom to try to arrest all the Trump supporters. It just happened exactly like that. It wasn't hard to predict because they telegraphed their machinations because the people involved know exactly what's going on. Like, they send these signals to each other. It's worth it just to, you know, pontificate on the 2020 election a little longer, because it was stuff like, the strategy was obvious from the very beginning, mail-in ballots, totally unverifiable, completely impossible to confirm chains of command with mail-in ballots, can't be done. They knew that. And then they started changing laws, say, well, what if they arrive after election day? Can we still count them? And so again, obvious, if you're just like suspicious of this, if you're not just accepting everything they say as if they're, you know, saints walking around and never lie, if you're just like, well, wait, what? Wait, you're changing it so it's after the election. Okay. All right. So you're going to wait for election day to happen, and then you just have an infinite supply of Joe Biden mail-in ballots. So you're just going to feed however many you need to get over the top. And you're only going to do it in 5 states. Cause remember, they kept making videos about these 5 states. And again, even before the election, I would play these videos and go, guys, these are the 5 states you're going to commit fraud in. Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania. What was the other one? Did I say Michigan already? Michigan, Minnesota, I guess. It was the other one. But it was those 5 states, and they would kept bringing them up. It was the exact 5 states that happened to be going for Trump when they just happened to shut down counting in the middle of the night, and it just so happened to flip to Biden. I mean, it was just, this is all so unbelievably obvious. This alone, this image alone disproves the election. Do you understand that? And do you understand anybody telling you otherwise is lying to you? I remember saying this like on election day, going, if you showed this chart to anybody and you completely removed any labels and you went, where is the anomaly here? If all you had were just the lines, maybe the X and the Y axis too. So you can just tell, okay, this is counting something over time. You go, all right, where's the anomaly? It's got to be this big jump. It's got to be that big spike. It's got to be that big vertical line that's unlike any of the other lines on the page. There's the anomaly right there. And then this bizarre phenomenon occurred where you could show that image to Democrats and go, where's the anomaly? And they would go, I don't see an anomaly. I don't see anything wrong with this chart. Looks legitimate to me. It's like, you are lying. You're lying. What are you talking about? What are you talking? How can you possibly say with a straight face that you don't know? Or it looks normal to me. I mean, guys, we knew the election was stolen on November 5th, 2020. And for the last 6 years, it's been a ridiculous charade to pretend otherwise. And it does show you how good they are at lying. I mean, it shows you that they can steal an election right in front of everybody, pretty much on live TV, putting up big cardboard boxes over the window in Detroit. And in fact, I want to go to this Detroit leak video. We'll move on after this, but clip 66. Is that the extra long one? Let's go to clip 66 here. Because this, to me, out of all of the video, I mean, the videos of people putting the stacks over and over in the same machines, people pulling mysterious suitcases full of ballots out of nowhere, vans arriving in the middle of the night. I mean, there's so much footage of absurdity. This, to me, is the most compelling and the most devastating in terms of shattering the concept that this election wasn't rigged. You're about to hear a poll working trainer, an undercover audio of the training for poll workers, where the people training just explain, they instruct the poll workers on how to avoid oversight, use COVID rules to avoid oversight, kick poll watchers out if they were too good at their job, but most importantly, steal people's votes by tricking them into thinking that they voted, and then they're instructed, throw that ballot away and count the ballot we got in the mail, even though the person voting, who's there in person with their ID, saying, I did not send in a mail-in ballot. Oh, well, we have a mail-in ballot with your name on it, so that's the vote that counts. Even though the person's in, watch the video, this is exactly what I'm, so you cannot say that this didn't happen. This is the training that they gave to the poll workers on how to cheat. We have it on tape. Let's watch.
Your chairperson can issue him what type of ballot?
Provisional.
A provisional envelope. Why? Where is it going?
No, I'm going to have you.
We have how many days? Six. So what is the Department of Elections going to do with it? Destroy it.
Multiple Detroit poll worker trainings were audio recorded, which reveal the mechanics of the planned theft of the election. They demonstrate exactly how things will and will not happen on election day. Step one, kick out the poll challengers. Poll watchers, that is.
Challengers and poll watchers. They have to wear a mask and they have to stay 6 feet. That's important because they can come behind your table. But if you don't have 6 feet, they can't come back there. Any questions?
So they're 6 feet back because they have really good vision. They can actually see.
Exactly. Yes, they got really good vision. Or they brought their binoculars. 6 feet. That's the rule, right? And you are entitled to your 6 feet.
Is that common? I mean, can we expect that?
Yep, there's a common. They're coming. I don't know if they're coming to every precinct, but they're coming to many of them in the city. Yes, we have already gotten word. The state has already said they are coming. And the basic thing they're going to challenge is what? Absentee ballot. That is correct. Yes.
What if they're like challenging and they start yelling and kind of making a scene?
911. They got standards. They got conduct standards.
Okay.
They make a scene, get them up out of there. The police are.
Michigan compiled laws. The Board of Election Inspectors shall provide a space for the challengers within the polling place that enables the challengers to observe the election procedure and each person applying to vote. And there you hear them training the poll workers to use COVID rules to demand 6 feet of separation and then deliberately place their tables less than 6 feet from the wall so that the people can't actually get behind the tables to observe them. And the woman in that recording says, you know, unless they have binoculars, they're not seeing anything. Okay, so we have audio recording of people being trained to cheat in an election. And nothing ever happened with this. And there's more devastating audio from that clip. And I'll actually show you that on the other side, where again, they explain how to take somebody's provisional ballot, say, thank you for voting, sir. This is your vote. And then as soon as they leave, throw that vote away and count the one that he says wasn't his, but does have his name on it. What more do we need? I have a lot more. Would you like more? I have hundreds of videos, thousands of affidavits that show the cheating. maybe this is a good place to start tearing the whole system down. We'll be right back.
K Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing methylene blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our methylene blue. Our methylene blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it. I mean, it's so good. It's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We'll move on to some other big topics and a bunch of great videos I have, actually, specifically about Minnesota and immigration. But let me finish up with voter fraud here. So I just showed you part of the clip from the Detroit leaks. The whole video is about 11 minutes long. I'll actually go ahead and I'll tweet out the full video. case people want to watch it in full. Because it gets a little bit confusing. There's multiple types of ballots, and there's different things you do with different types of ballots. But all you really need to know is that they changed the rules so that it used to be that, like, absentee ballots would be counted later through a different process, and that only in-person votes on the day would be entered into the tabulator, because the tabulator machine, basically, like, once the vote goes in, I guess it's somehow it's anonymized. It's, like, stripped of its information, and it basically can't be recovered. It's basically only supposed to go for votes that were cast in person, because you put it in the tabulator and it's counted and it's done. You're not supposed to do that with absentee ballots, but then they changed it and decided to do it anyway. But what you're about to hear is, as I just described, you're going to hear the training in Detroit, Michigan, of poll watchers, or the pollsters, people actually, you know, counting the votes. They were just told how to, you know, avoid being watched by invoking COVID rules. But now they're going to be told how to steal a vote, basically. She talks about, you know, an example of somebody coming in to vote, and yet on the list of voters, it shows that they'd already received a mail-in ballot for him. I wonder if this happened very often. Well, here's how they were trained to handle a situation like that. Let's watch.
What do you notice about his name?
Absentee ballot.
What?
Sent and received.
Do not what?
Do not issue
him a ballot. Mr. Allen, we have received your ballot. Thank you very much for voting. Would you like a I voted sticker? Right? He's already voted. There's no reason for him to vote again. At all. Ever. That day. He's done. But what if he gets what? Loud, rude. That's not me. I didn't vote. I want to vote. And just acts the purest, right? What can you do? Your chairperson can issue him what type of ballot?
A provisional
envelope. Why? Where is it going? Not in the tabulator. It's going in that envelope, right? We have how many days? 6. So what is the Department of Elections going to do with it? Destroy it.
Destroy it. There you go. Okay, so do you understand what she just explained? Did you get what she was just training those people to do? She just explained it from their perspective. Now imagine it from the voter's perspective. Imagine you are a Detroit voter. You have not received, nor have you sent in, a mail-in ballot. You go to the polling place to vote on voting day, and like you always have, you stand in line, you get up to the front, they ask your name, maybe they ask an ID, you say your name, they look down a list, and they say, sir, we've already received your mail-in ballot. And you go, no, you didn't, I didn't send one in. They go, yeah, we have a ballot, your name on it, it's checked right here. And you go, no, that wasn't me. I did not send in a mail-in ballot. That is not my vote. I would like to vote right now, please. And they go, sorry, I can't issue a ballot. It says you already voted. That's what we got to count. So you get kind of mad. You go, well, that's not my vote. You cannot count that vote. I would like to vote right now with the ballot. And so they go, okay, sir, sorry, this must have been our mistake. Here's a provisional ballot. Go ahead and fill that out for me. We'll get your vote in absolutely. So you go, okay, good. You fill it out. You hand it to them. They take that, say, thank you, sir. Well, I'm going to put it right here in the special pile for provisional ballots. You leave thinking you've cast a vote. They take the provisional ballot you just put in, and they burn it. And they count the vote that you never sent in. They count the mail-in ballot that has your name on it, your ID. It's your vote, but you never sent it in. You never even received it. And there's absolutely no way to verify whether that happened 1,000 times, one time, a dozen times. There's absolutely no way to know, because they burned the provisional ballots. So people went in to polling places in Detroit, thought they voted, when in reality, their provisional ballots were a trick. They were a deliberate deception to make you think you voted, when they then intended to burn that ballot and count the one that they'd received from somebody with your name on it. Did that happen? Did that have an effect on the outcome of the election? Tell me how we'd find that out. How would we investigate that? How would you start to look into whether that was the case? This is the point of the mail-in ballots. This is the point of rigging the election system. They did it in a way that cannot be verified, ever. And they had so many different tactics, so many different manipulations, so many different styles that their fraud came in. But it was all in just a couple different states, couple different locales, couple different big cities, and a couple different states. And you remember, and still to this day, you'll hear the same refrain of there was no widespread nationwide electoral fraud that was so big it had the chance to swing the election, as if you needed people in every single district to win an election. No, you need like three people in five districts, basically. You need about 15 people to pull this off. They had a lot more obviously involved, but you identify five swing states, you identify the major metropolitan areas in those swing states. Those happen to be the exact places where a variety of inconsistencies and anomalies and water main breaks that never existed happened to occur in those particular cities and those particular states to swing the election. And I've been saying this for 6 years straight, and it's exhausting, but now we know. But now everyone knows, apparently. And with that, let's go out to some videos, because I don't know why. There's been a lot of really good ones that I just want to show you now. I think we'll begin with clip 34 here. As we go on to talk about Minnesota and the rioters and the chaos, I don't know if they understand how they come across to us, but this is really an accurate representation of pretty much every leftist activist ever. Let's watch.
No marriage, no babies, no truth, no God, no happiness, no joy, no countries, no buildings. Just rubble. I just want rubble and sadness. I want the sky to turn black. Black Lives Matter, turn the sky black. I want to see, I want to melt. I want to be a puddle of mud. What I'm doing is justified, and white people living their lives is evil. White people just try to get by is evil. Black Lives Matter only, and everything should die. Knock down every statue. Burn down the Burger Kings. Fill the country with Mexicans. Kill the whites. Go to their homes and live in their yards. No jobs. Quit your jobs. Destroy all of it because of,
I love it. It's so good. And it really makes you wonder, what do they think they're doing? Like, what do they think they're achieving? I mean, say what you want about, like, the Nazis. At least they can show you some pretty cool imagery of, like, some big buildings. At least they can go, hey, if we win, check it out. And it's, like, a big stadium. And it's, like, I don't know, like 1936 Olympics. Like, at least you can go like, pretty good, right? Maybe you want that. Like, what is the left? What is their argument? What are they going to point to? South Africa? They're going to point to Zimbabwe and go, guys, check it out. You come with us. Look what you get. A bunch of rubble and mud and maybe killed. Maybe somebody eats you. Do you want to be eaten by a cannibal? Come with us quick. Like, what is their argument? What do they think they're doing? What do they think they're saving from who? And how does that work exactly? Because everything in your life was built by the people you despise and are trying to destroy, right? I mean, these people are not exactly built for survival, right? I guess is a way to put it. Most of the people in left-wing riots would not last a day without modern conveniences. Modern conveniences built by the sweat of the people they think are white supremacist and evil. So, like, it really is just reversion to the mean, just dissolving into mud. That it's like, is that the ultimate goal? That at their heart really is the ultimate desire of every leftist. There's like, if we could all just be mud, be so wonderful. And this is the thing that has never made sense to me. Why would anybody go along with that? And especially why would people be tricked into going along with that because of their race? By which I mean, like, why wouldn't you want to live in a white country? Why wouldn't anybody of any race want to live around white people and have white people in authority? Like, what, how did you guys get tricked into this? It doesn't make any sense how this happened. It doesn't make any sense how in a country where people of African descent do better than anywhere else in the world, and it was that way for centuries, like, how did they convince people that we were a racist country? Like, how did they do that? How did they pull that off? When we are and have been, since our founding pretty much, probably the least racist country in the history of the world. And yet they convince black people, Hispanics, Asian people to unify with this insane cadre of retards. And it just doesn't make any sense. So I guess, I don't know who can answer that for me, but I have the opposite here for you. I have the only mindset that makes sense, in my opinion, on display here for you. Clip number 40. A black guy who's not falling for the leftist division, who's not an idiot, who thinks that going with the left and tearing down all of the structure of civilization is somehow beneficial because it hurts white people most. That's retarded. We're all Americans except for the people that are here illegally and the people helping them who all need to be expelled for the sake of us, the Americans. Let's watch.
I like white America. I don't like this Somalian America or Taliban America. I'm not into
Taliban America.
Got these damn Talibans and terrorists running New York City. You got these Somalians taking over damn Minnesota. I'm sorry. I don't like it. Call me whatever you want to call me. I miss a good old white America with a sprinkle of the rest of us. Some blacks here, some Latinos there, some Asians, you know what I mean? Just the good old days. What the hell we got going on? We got people praying in the middle of the street. I'm not into your little prayers and whatnot. I don't like it. Clean that up. Make America white again. What the hell's going on? We got kids. And our kids ain't gonna grow up in the same good old America we grew up in. It's gonna look like a damn third world country. Got these people come to our country and steal billions of dollars. Imagine if they walked into Mexico and stole billions of dollars. They'd be swinging from a damn tree. Their heads would be missing from their body. But they get to just hide out over here and just cause chaos and commotion so nobody pays attention. I'm getting sick of it. Elon Omar sitting on, what, $45 million? How? I don't trust the voting system. I don't trust anything. We gotta figure something out. Something ain't right. We gotta close the doors, man. Can't let everybody in. You see what's happening. They're taking over. We're going to be the minority, all of us. Man, all these weird-looking people just running the country, making us the new slaves. Something's got to be done, or it's going to be hell to pay. Maybe not for us, but our kids and our grandkids. I don't want to see that.
Westcott America. I don't know who that guy is, but he's on my team. But he's on my team, y'all. All these weird-looking people. I'm not part of this Taliban America. You gotta love it. That's what I'm telling you. That's why I've just never resonated with the actually racist people, with the people that are just like, wow, we should send them all back. It's like, guys, we got real enemies out there. These are our brothers. These are our fellow Americans. I really do. It just goes right to the heart of it. Like, what? Who is buying that argument? Who, you know, in the ghettos of America is going, you know what we need? A bunch of Somali pirates chopping heads off at Westcott America. I got to follow him. Unfiltered cultural commentary. We got to get him on. I love it. Just where the beast like, we got kids. We don't want to live around these people. Amen. Amen. And a lot of people are feeling this way. A lot of people are just getting to the end of the rope. Let's go to clip 39 here. Yeah, we don't care. We don't care about the feelings of people that are scamming us. Sorry, but I'm not really sorry. You're trying to scam us and makes you my enemy. So why would I be sad that bad things happen to you? Let's go to clip 39.
Really don't care about illegal immigrants being detained by ICE and families being separated? No. No. If I have to be the one to say it, because I see a lot of right-wingers tiptoeing around it, I don't care. I do not care. Okay, do I feel sympathy? Yes, I feel sympathy for families going through a hard time. Just like if it was my family going through a hard time, I would be struggling. So I can sympathize with their struggle, okay, because I'm a normal human. But does that make me care enough to say, let's stop all deportations, let's brutalize ICE? No. No. No, okay? If I broke the law here in South Carolina, any law, I don't know, I robbed a bank, and my reasoning is because my family was hungry, I needed to feed my family, I'm not coming from a bad place, I'm not a dangerous person, I just literally needed money to feed my family and keep us surviving. Okay, it's a good reason, but I'm still going to jail. Okay, and none of you would blame the South Carolina Police Department for me robbing a bank. They are just doing their job. So I am not going to sit here and bullshit that any of this is ICE's fault or Trump's fault. These laws have been around well before Trump. Decades, generations before Trump. Okay, I'm pretty sure they've been around longer than Trump has been alive. ICE has been around for also years. You know what else ICE does? Human trafficking rescues, sex trafficking rescues, drug trafficking busts, okay? Gang cartel busts, okay? So no, I'm not going to attack federal agents that save lives. They've probably saved about 2,000 lives just from the beginning of 2025 this year alone. Most of which of those are children and women. Okay, so no, I'm not going to go throw rocks and bricks at their heads. You want to know why else I don't care? Because these are not parents of the year, and I'm tired of the left pretending like they are. Okay, not everyone is fleeing. Fleeing. Okay, you guys like to throw that around. Oh, well, they're fleeing from horrible conditions. All of them? All of them? Okay, and even if they are, that's why we have asylum. That's why you can seek refuge. Do it the right way. Okay, it's not your right to live here. No one has the right to be an American. I don't know when that became, like, not reality, okay? But I don't have the right to go live in Japan. It's not my human right to go settle in Japan, not have any papers, barely contribute to society, and then blame police when they arrest me when they realize that I'm there illegally and committing illegal activity, okay? That's not Japan's fault. That's my fault. Parents of the year, you want to know what I wouldn't do to my child? Put them in a position to lose me in the first place. Let me just go into a country. The first action I make upon being a citizen is slapping the laws of this country in the face. Then I'm going to start a family, then stay here for 15 years, never even attempt to get my papers, have multiple kids, send them all around the state and the country in activities in which any moment they could get caught, okay, knowing their lives could be slipped from under them at any moment, and do nothing about it. And then when we get caught, yeah, I'm going to blame the current sitting president that it's happening under. That's what I'm going to do. Because the last 15 years were none of my responsibility. It's all his fault. Because he made me do these things. I'm not going to cry for those people. I'm sorry. That's dumb. Okay? It's stupid.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah, no, it's very dumb and stupid. She's exactly right. We'll go to clip 45 here, where somebody very calmly explains. But, you know, part of it is just the spirit of these people. Like, I can show you clip after clip after clip of right-winger, and they're just intelligent. There's a light in their eyes. They're thoughtful and concerned about things that matter. And then the left is just a screeching wall of insanity. Like, it's so crazy. I can't even play the audio of this. Let's go to clip 47 here and just keep the audio down. But, like, compare what we just saw. Right. The black guy going, I'm trying to live in Somalia. What the hell are you talking about? Or the woman going, look, you're here for 15 years. You couldn't become legal at some point in all of that. Like, no, I don't feel sorry for you. Right. I mean, I just show you video after video of these people. Again, just intelligent, thoughtful, loving, normal. What they say makes sense. Meanwhile, this is the opposition. 47. And yeah, I can't even. He's literally cursing the entire time. He's screaming his head off. I can read it for you. A U.S. citizen and pistol whipped him and then shot and him while he was on the effing ground. And now he's dead. What? The actual F is happening. He's just like, he looks like a rat. He's got some weird handlebar. He's literally spitting, like spewing. And he's, I mean, it's just like, That's the other side. Like, just these things alone, it is not hard to figure out who the good guys are here, okay? Now, sometimes they're not just spewing invective and vibrating with rage that, like, laws are being enforced. Sometimes they are out-of-touch Hollywood weirdos sending their minions to die in their place. Let's go to clip 27 here. Star of Breaking Bad, Giancarlo Esposito, is talking about fighting a civil war while looking like a gay version of Andy Warhol. Let's watch.
This is time for a revolution.
It's time for revolution.
It's time for it, and they don't even know that's what they're starting. You know, some very rich, old, white men
Let's
are...
Pause it. Hold on, hold on. This is a man wearing what appears to be some sort of flowery dress with hat and glasses that he stole straight off of the Planters pink peanut mascot, looking whiter than me, talking about these old white men are starting a revolution. They don't know what they're start. Sir, you look like you belong in a Jaguar ad. So what the hell are you talking about? Sorry, back to the multimillionaire superstar on the Variety red carpet being interviewed about how, you know, we need to take down the power structure.
Bring their power to suppress our own people, thus creating a feeling of civil war in the streets, preparing the hate. The haters to hate, teaching them how to shoot. They're not even trained.
He's so
right
profound.
To
I mean,
kill.
What would we do without him? Let's take him down. Sir, he's like our people, like against us. Your people are in LA, you know, living in the hills while the consequences of the policies you support are the hordes of homeless people robbing and stabbing each other underneath. It's just like, I showed you four videos, two of leftists, two of right-wingers. It's like perfect, right? It's like the hardworking middle-class fathers and mothers versus the out-of-touch Hollywood elite psychopath retards and their frantic, like incapacitated with rage followers. They can't take us all down. The whole world showed up in Washington. There'd be a 550 million or whatever, but the rest of us would survive. It's time for a revolution. Yes, we'll survive in our castles. The rest of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Giancarlo. By the way, got his start playing a Mexican cartel drug runner, right? A little stereotypical, if you ask me. All right, so if you can't decide which side's the good side at this point, if you still think that the left-right divide is not a meaningful one, what the hell are you talking about? Why is it that every video of a leftist is always them shrieking and crying or, you know, deigning to speak to us lower classes? I mean, hell, play clip one again. Play clip one. It's another perfect example. Pretty, nice, white girl. We go ahead and roll it as B-roll. Versus shrieking, ugly freak. Every time. Every single time. So, don't tell me there's no left-right divide. That's all an illusion. It's biological, folks. It's the good versus the evil. The beautiful versus the despicable.
I'm here to announce a new, extremely exciting product at thealexshowstore.com. And that's MindFuel. Brought to you by the same folks that developed Optimal Human. This is an Optimal Human product. We set out with our sponsor, Bigley, to come out with a clean, nootropic energy shot that doesn't have any letdown, but gives you clean energy. This stuff is so strong, though, I take half a shot in the morning. It's a big shot. And another half in the afternoon if I need to work late. But again, you can still sleep on it because it's not a traditional stimulant. So if you loved Optimal Human, the strongest, best, super nutrient-packed green drink out there, available right now at TheElectricSource.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And when I go through these ingredients, go research these for yourself, and then know, when you find out how great they are, that we have the very best and the very strongest in this product, Mind Fuel, available right now at TheElectricSource.com. Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, benefit, no crash, no blood sugar spike. Advantage can be used daily without guilt, and it's good for your whole body, not just your brain. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy. Advantage, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. Nootropic Alpha GPC, Citricoline, DMAE, GABA. Benefit supports mental clarity and focus. Advantage competes with premium brain formulas in a convenient shot. And the best part is, it's an adaptogenic and herbal proprietary blend. Balanced, grounded energy. Advantage appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. And then it's got high-quality electrolytes and a spectrum of high-quality B. If you love our other products, TheAlexShowStore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And if you haven't tried our Ultra Methylene Blue or our Shilajit or Irish Sea Moss or our Bovine Colostrum, you're crazy. These are all incredible products. Get your Mind Fuel now at TheAlexShowStore.com and help keep us on the air on powering your life.